B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to party.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, and it is a General Knowledge Wednesday. And that's the good part of today, because today we gotta really look deeply at this Sixer situation. All right, they lose a regular season game. And I know we put that in perspective every once in a while. It's a regular season game, and the standings are going to be what the standings are. And it's not important to me how they fall on the standings, except if they get the one seed and they face the Brooklyn Nets. That's been established already. But the main question that we have to answer as we head to the playoffs is, can they beat a good team four times? That is always the prevailing theme of whether the Sixers can beat a good team four times. Like last night, that's a good team. Can they beat that kind of a team four times? They had a chance to win that game last night. They did not have enough to win it. And we will examine all of these reasons why. All right? So let's examine. We'll start from the end of the game and go a little bit backwards. All right, end game. Harden's got a good look. Not even close. That's not even close, which shocks me that wasn't close. It grazes the left side of the rim. And fortunately, Embiid is there to get an offensive rebound. Now, you're going to can debate this all you want. A lot of people, well, he should have gone up and dunked. He should have gathered and dunked it. Yeah, that's the easy thing to think. And then there may be some things that prevent that, as he talked about after the game. And in his mind was there wasn't enough time, and he had to get it up quickly. So I'll accept that, because that's going through the man's head. And that's going to either prevent him from doing something or force him to do something. I got it. And Giannis made a great play on the block. All right, so let's go backwards now. There's a timeout coming out of a possession. They should be able to draw up a play. What was the play that Doc Rivers drew up? I don't know what it was, because I'm looking at it. During a timeout, I tweet, well, here's an easy two-man game. You get Joel down low, you get a double. Either he reacts to the double, moves onto the basket quick, gets fouled, goes to the line, makes two, or it's a kick out. And maybe Harden makes that shot. Well, the play was that Joel Embiid has the ball in his hands at the top. And while he did get eventually a good look, he had to dribble his way into that good look. So I don't know what that was. I don't know if the Bucks blew up the play that was designed, or that was the play that was designed. So let's go further back now. Let's go back, and we'll talk about the start of the fourth quarter. And Doc Rivers is watching Giannis rip up his team. Millsap's in the game. Tobias is in the game with Maxey, who's not in a great game. So it's like Tobias is the only starter in the game. And being harder on the bench. The Bucks are ripping up Millsap. I mean, if there's a situation where Millsap should be in a game there, it's that. And, of course, after the game, Embiid kind of lights up his coach by saying maybe staggered minutes a little better. And you can't have Giannis in the game going crazy when you two stars are on the bench and you don't have the firepower to match what they do. My point is this. This team is not good enough talent-wise to just go out and win. Somewhere along the line, a coach has to be able to strategize his way through a game. And this is where I look at the 76ers and question, is Doc Rivers the guy that can strategize his way to a couple of wins? It's like baseball. If you have a weak hitting team, your pitcher has to win a game for you every now and then, right? You can go through every sport. A quarterback has to win a game for you when the game's on the line. Doc Rivers looks at, you look at this team, it's not overly talented. It's got a good starting lineup. Not overly talented, okay? They're not a great team off the bench. So Doc Rivers has to be able to bring you home a couple of times, and last night he did not bring them home. They scored 37 points in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee did. Now, if you're a coach, you can't allow that to happen. Just like last year, you couldn't allow the Atlanta Hawks to bust you back with a 25-point lead with 2-6-2 guards doing most of the deed. Somewhere along the line, the coach has to say, no more. buck stops here, and coach your way through it. And he did not do that last night. So this is my big concern when it goes down to, can they beat a good team four times? Talent-wise, probably not. Strategic-wise, they're going to have to do it. And that is in the lap of the head coach. Now, Tyrone, you watched the game. You had Sixers outsiders. I think we're thinking along the same lines here. But your thoughts on how it transpired last night?
Well, see, Doc has... This is what's frustrating for me. I want to make it clear, I don't think Doc Rivers is a bad basketball coach, because I know there are going to be people that are about to call upset with Doc. And I'm not saying they should be upset. I'm saying I don't think Doc's a bad coach. The question is Doc a coach who can win a game or two when he doesn't have the best players the whole time? Like the last time the Sixers played the Bucks, Embiid goes for 40. You know Giannis is going to have an answer. Last night was Giannis's answer. You get 83 points from Harden, Embiid, Tobias. 83 points from those three guys. Hey, Doc, you got to do the rest on one night. If Embiid's cold, like he made his first shot, got cold, but then he heat it back up. If Embiid has a terrible game, Harden has a terrible game, Tobias has a terrible game, okay, fine, Doc. You probably can't coach around that. But if those three give you 83 points, and they did last night, you kind of need to be able to steal that game coaching-wise, and Doc doesn't really do anything different. Now, the question I have is, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Is he being vanilla because it's the regular season and then going to have something ready in the postseason? Or is this who he is? Because the problem is last year, he did not have anything different in the postseason. But I'm trying to think, well, maybe Embiid covers Giannis on certain possessions, not the whole game in the playoffs. Maybe he does something different. I don't know. Try a zone. Try a something on defense when they're making 70-plus percent of their shots in the fourth. You don't just keep playing the same man-to-man that's killing you. You do double somebody, triple somebody. None of that happened. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I know you're working hard at trying to do that. And I hope to God you're right, that this is a ruse and he's holding something back. But frankly, I don't think it is, because we have seen last year's playoffs and we saw a 25-point lead evaporated home when he was unable to do anything.
Right.
So I don't think he was holding anything back there. And last night, the stat is, Giannis scored 15 points in under 2 minutes with Millsap on him in the game. Now, Embiid guarded him on one possession, and we don't know how it would have worked out. What I'm saying is that, like, Giannis scores 13 straight points. He's ripping your team apart. Your two stars are good counter offensively to counter what the Bucks are doing on the bench. And you're just watching it happen. That's the only thing I'm looking at.
You're right. And Embiid was making it clear afterwards, without trying to be rude to the coach or being disrespectful. It happens all the time. Your minutes are matched to that guy's minutes. I know we normally do, but in this game, when Giannis is out there, you're out there. When you get rest, you'll get rest when Giannis gets rest.
Why is it that hard? Why is that simple thing that hard?
I don't know. And that's where I'm thinking it's regular season, and he's just deciding he's going to do the regular stuff with Embiid. And then he played him a few more minutes because he brought him back a little earlier. But here's the worst part about that is he brought him back earlier, but it was still 15 straight points. Bring him back when it's 10. What's the difference between, if you're going to play a guy 39 minutes in a regular season game anyway, how about 40 or 41, knowing that you're going to be able to rest him against a Detroit or a Charlotte or somebody down the stretch? It's just peculiar to me under the circumstances, because if you did want the one seed, last night was the time to go grab it. Now, maybe they don't want it, and that's another point.
Like I said that at the start, the standings are going to be what the standings are, but I see some things. I go, I don't think he's trying to play fancy here. I really don't. And so I look at it like, okay, if I'm a coach, I go, without Harden and Embiid on the floor against that team, I don't have, if they're on the bench, I don't have that great a team out there to fight a powerful team like that, where that Giannis is going to go off. Like, I don't understand. That's a fundamental thing to me.
It is.
You know, you don't have that great a team to counter that Giannis is on the floor without Embiid and Harden being able to combat him.
Yes.
Is they overly complicated?
It's not. And you have to also read the game. If Maxey's having a game like he's had in other games, different situation because his firepower in that game. But against Phoenix and now against the Bucks, two veteran-laden teams that have won something before, been there, done that type of teams, he didn't have an answer for him. He's 21 years old.
Right.
He's not ready.
And so that's three examples now because the Nets game was the first thing where he looked a little overmatched in that heat.
Right. You're right.
So as a coach, that's what I'm saying. As a coach, I go, I can't expect. I got Maxey out there with Tobias. Now, I can't expect that's going to hold down the fort.
Right, and Tobias did what he could by himself. But at that point, he literally was by himself. Niang had missed five straight threes. He didn't make any till Embiid came back in the game. So while that lineup's out.
There's a lot of things that you got to coach your way past the game. And it includes drawing up a play that'll get you a basket there. That play, explain that to me. What was that? What was that possession?
I don't know. And it kept working. And by the way, it'll always work. When they are in this pick and roll together and that little pocket pass to Embiid, that's always there. And if it's not there, Tobias, who shot a bunch of threes last night to his credit because we were calling it, he's wide open in that corner. So call that play. So Embiid goes and sets the pick for Harden. When Embiid goes downhill, if too many guys follow him, either Harden, you have it, or if they collapse, Tobias will be wide open because you cannot guard all those guys. And if Tobias gets the shot and he misses it, you can live with that. Instead, it was a meandering play that wasn't quick. So the Bucks were able to recover because nothing was fast. Everything has to be quick at the end of game situations. And Doc's play was a slow-developing play, whatever it was.
I think everybody who follows this team likes this team and thinks that they improved their chances when they got Harden. But beyond Harden and Embiid, they're thin, which brings coaching into the equation. And that's all I'm saying here, because the bottom line is you got to beat a good team four times. And it is evident to me that your town alone is not going to be able to do that, that you're going to have to figure out a savvy way to pull it off. And last night, I didn't see it. Jen, you know, we've been bulldozing here, so
I apologize.
It's okay. So I'd like to hear your feelings right now.
It was frustrating watching that game last night in what felt like a playoff game, right? I mean, watching, it was a fun game to watch, and it felt like a playoff game. And just coming down to the end there, it was really frustrating because we've been saying now for a couple weeks, Harden's got to be better. He's got to be tougher. He's got to be more aggressive. And he goes out and has a decent outing last night, a solid game. Mm-hmm. And then all for naught.
Yeah. All right. So, listen, I know people are going to talk about it. And when they lose a game, people get disgruntled and they bail out of the whole season. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm doing is I'm putting responsibility in the lap of a head coach who's been around a long time, who's got a lot of wins in this league, and say, you got to figure out a way. You know, you just lost to the Suns. You lost to this team. You lost to the Nets before. Now, you got to beat these kind of teams four times. Show me something. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. So hopefully we balance this out here. And the general knowledge prize today, it will be a $50 gift card for B&B Beverages, a beer and cigar superstore located in Doylestown. Check out B&B Beverage, huge selection of craft beers and a bigger cigar selection than most area cigar stores. Visit bnbbeverages.com. Our categories today, easy general knowledge. That's a specific type of general knowledge. You hear with that word, easy?
I like it.
All right. Famous movie scenes. 1990s decades, things that happened in the decade. And finally, NCAA college basketball teams by state without the actual state in its name.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, if I go to Arizona, Arizona State cannot be the answer. See what I'm saying?
No, wait, I'm confused.
All right, so if I go Arizona, basketball team without the state's name in it would be Grand Canyon State.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And if I go to California, California can't be in the name of the school.
So it could be
the word state can, but not the state's name.
So it could be Pepperdine.
Exactly.
But it couldn't be USC.
Correct the Boondocks.
Okay. All right. All right. That's going to be fun.
All right. That's going to be probably hard.
Yeah, fun.
For but people. You got easy.
But that's the,
yep.
But they, all the other ones should be easy. All right. You want to set an over-under?
Yes, the over-under. Because of scheduling conflicts, we have no guest. Because everybody's either going to Detroit or coming back from Florida. But that's a whole other thing. At literally everybody, 13 people is frustrating. 13 people. Uh-huh. I'm going with 13.1.
Oh! Okay.
I say that because last week, before you went on vacation, we got to 12.
Oh, really?
And we had a guest.
That's right.
So 13.1 should be possible,
uh-huh.
Minus the guest.
Okay, and easy general knowledge.
Yes.
All right.
We'll help that. 13.1. All right, Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's a 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show as we kick it off at General Knowledge Wednesday today. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Attention HVAC Contractors. For equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job, just visit one of Ferguson's counter locations there in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, Westchester. Do that today. All right, our Twitter poll. Let's open it up. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. Yeah, it could be mower time in your neighborhood, depending on what your lawn looks like. You know, when you start that lawnmower, you want to make sure it does start. It runs properly, so schedule your mower maintenance right now at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen Squirto, today's Twitter poll. Jen.
Do the Sixers' losses to the Suns and Bucks lower your expectations for the team? You can say yes, they're lacking, or no, they'll get it fixed. Right now, yes, they're lacking is winning at 65%.
Well, the 65 is not overwhelming. So,
yes, no, it's more positive than I thought.
It is. It's fairly positive at 65%. I'm not bailing out on this season. I'm just saying, like, my man's got to coach his way past a couple games here. That's all.
Yes, and I know that Doc coaches. I know Anthony was talking about it. He sat courtside right near. He was with the sixth man last night down there, so he's hearing everything. Doc does coach a lot during the games, so he's not one of these guys that's like MIA. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit curious at times what he's doing, especially defensively. Because offensively, they're pretty darn good offensively, even lacking in the spots that they're lacking. Mm-hmm. But defensively, and then as far as imagination, that's where he seems to struggle. And it would have been nice to have, you know, this is why we've been saying play B-ball, Paul, months ago. Because now it's too late. You could have used an athletic long guy last night to guard Giannis other than Millsap. And you haven't developed that guy. And that's kind of malpractice.
And he gave him one shot earlier this season. Yeah. And he said it didn't work out that well. So he's now, that's out of his mind.
But young guys are going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been preaching this all year long.
Right. And you look at other, like that guy Boucher for the Raptors. He was not Boucher, like he was not much of a player before. And then Nick Nurse dealt with the ups and downs and developed this long, wiry guy who had a weird skill set. We just don't see Doc doing that kind of thing.
No.
With lesser guys. And the other teams kind of do. Grayson Allen's not a star. Budge uses him. And now he's like
figured out a role for him.
He has a role. And Connaughton has a role. They have roles for guys. It's just, I don't know. Doc doesn't seem to have much patience for that. But that's important.
Yep.
Because if you get 3 or 4 good B-ball Paul minutes last night, you probably win the game.
I get you, man. And it's not going to happen at this point. So
No, that's too late.
This is what they are. And this is why you got to consider one thing. Can they beat a good team 4 times? Can they do it on talent alone? Probably not. Can they do it with talent that they have plus savvy coaching? That's got to be the hope. All right, General Knowledge Wednesday presented today by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who kind of have the most accurate, reliable, high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox. when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testo. Easy general knowledge, famous movie scenes, 1990s decade quiz, NCAA college basketball teams that don't have the state's name in the university's name. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's really easy once we get the hang of it. All right, let's start it out with John in Overbrook. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I called to talk about the game last night, and Glenn Rivers, I refuse to call him Doc. There's only one Doc here in this city of Philadelphia, in my eyes. Also, too, I wanted to ask you, I called in a couple weeks ago, too, and you gave me Duke in the brackets.
Yes, I'm going to mention the Final Four winners here today sometimes.
Oh, okay.
You are a Final Four winner.
All right.
Congratulations to you. And now you've got the $50 Philly Pretzel Factory gift card. And now all you got to do is wait for a national title if you can pull it off.
Oh, wow. Okay. That sounds good to me. Yeah, but last night, I'm sad to say, that might be a preview of what we're going to see come playoff time, man. Mm-hmm. Because there's no plan B in Doc Rivers, in Glenn Rivers, coaching style. You know, he zero ends. It's like he's a spectator. I heard Tyrone saying, does coach on the sideline, but do they get what he's saying? Does he put his point across? And two, last night, that last play, you only need 2 points, okay? And you go to something to the basket. I mean, that jump shot, man, when soon as Harden put it up, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm like, why? That timeout after that timeout and the timeout before that, those are the plays we draw up to get a basket.
Yeah, I didn't understand the Embiid up top or out of that timeout. But, you know, Harden got a good look. That's got to be a better shot. He can't miss that shot like that. I mean, I'm expecting that he's going to give it. You know, that's going to be a realistic make. But he wasn't anywhere near with that shot, and that's disappointing.
But I need to see something going to the basket, you know. I mean, you're down to, hey, what the heck? What about an old-fashioned three-point play? I mean,
I agree with you. I thought coming out of the timeout, they'd have Embiid down low and pass out of a double team, or before the double team gets there, he moves, gets fouled, you know, like that we've seen a million times before.
Yeah, but, man, I'm looking at this and the same thing in Phoenix, you know?
Yeah.
They let those two games get away.
Yeah, you know? All right, man, let me give you a general knowledge question here before I let you go.
Yeah. Go ahead,
this is easy general knowledge now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What are the two biggest countries in the world by area? Just give me one of them. I'll take one. Two biggest countries in the world by area.
United States.
Incorrect. Sorry, bro. Russia. Canada. By area. Oh, Doc said something last night, too, and I'm scratching my head going, he goes, they should have scored on that last play right before the first half. We had everybody switching out, and for some reason, we didn't do it. For some reason, you didn't do it? Why? Why? You coach a team to do something, and you don't get the result? Like, what is that about? I thought that was very peculiar.
Yeah,
he said that.
Yeah,
he
was talking about the end of the third quarter.
Was it?
Yeah, Giannis came down and got the dunk. That was part of his, when Embiid was on the bench, that 15th personal run. That was
they also scored before the first half, didn't they? With like 0.2 seconds.
Did they?
They did. Yeah, I mean, baskets, they shouldn't have scored.
Yeah, but he was talking about the end of the third. He ended up cutting it to 8. And that's when Harden came out. And then the next thing you know,
Didn't they do it? Like, where your coach?
He said that the guards were supposed to pick up, and that could be your problem. Maxey doesn't. I have to preface it because I don't want to come off like a hater. He's 21. He's going to be excellent. He's still developing. He doesn't guard anyone.
No. He
so he's supposed to at least make Giannis have to dribble around him. They let a straight line straight into the paint, and then Millsap decided to matador, and he ends up with a dunk right at the end. Completely unnecessarily.
Yeah. That was not a good loss last night. Jay in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, Mike, how you guys doing?
What's up, Jay?
I'm good, buddy. First-time caller. Mike, hey. Tyrone, Jen, hey, just wanted to say hello.
Thanks, buddy.
Quick question for you. How do you feel, it was brought up earlier in Anthony's show about Tyrese possibly coming off the bench and playing with the second unit to get him a little more involved?
Well, who are you going to start? See, there are times when he's involved as a starter. But, you know, against these good teams, he's kind of fading in the background. So who would you start in place of Maxey? Another non-scorer.
If I'm being honest, I'd start George, non-scorer. And then I'd bring Maxey off the bench with the second unit to allow him to have the ball in his hands more and allow him to create and do what he's doing best when he doesn't have the ball, when James is on the floor, just to give him a chance to get into the rhythm of the game. Because it seems like lately he hasn't been able to get into the rhythm like he did the first few games with James. And so I was just curious how you guys felt.
Well, I don't think Doc is going to change the starting lineup now. So, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard this suggestion. But now there's fewer games in the regular season. So
yeah.
I don't think you're going to see these great revelations from him. They are what they are at this point, and Maxey's going to be a starter for them.
Yeah, not a revelation. I mean, just maybe a spark for the second unit, you know. I mean, I get what you're saying. You only got a few games left, so you can't really do too much now.
I don't think he's going to tinker radically. That would be a radical change for him, and I don't think he's about that at this point.
Okay. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, it's a thought. I mean, it's not the first time we've heard the thought. I guess it kind of makes sense. But, like, you know, Maxey can just as well go off as a member of the starting lineup. He has to will himself. Sometimes he just is content to fade away from the play. And I don't know. It's great. You know, he's going to be on the floor with Harden, whether he's coming off the bench or whether he's not.
I just feel like recently they're starting to become this Harden that I guess the Philly fans probably didn't want, where he's dribbling, sort of dribbling for 10 seconds before he gets rid of the ball, maybe gives it up to Joel or whoever.
Yeah.
And Maxey before was a little more involved, or he was able to play off the ball with James and be able to get into a little bit of a rhythm. And now his rhythm seems to be affected a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to look at his last few games just to see if that's if it's fallen. I don't think it's consistently fallen off. But let me give you a general knowledge question. Famous movie scenes.
Okay.
Woman and man centrally share a pottery wheel.
Ghost.
That's correct. Hold on a second. Ghost is our first correct answer of the day. See
quite
how easy
scene.
That was? Well, that's yeah, good. It's an unforgettable scene.
Yeah.
That's what these are all about.
Of course. Stoneheart over here.
Wait a minute. He's still alive at that point.
No, he wasn't alive.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, in the movie he was.
Well, he was?
Still alive at that point.
Wasn't she feeling him at one point, like when he was dead?
Later in the movie. That's I think later. She sits in the same seat.
Yeah, and then he goes into Whoopi Goldberg because she's like a medium and all that stuff.
Yep.
But no, that scene, he's still alive. They're just sitting there wasting clay.
Wasting clay.
Wasting clay.
It's a very romantic scene.
Of course it is.
Between two lovers.
See, even the fact that you said lovers that way.
Oh, man.
Miss me with that.
You know who the villain in that movie was?
Mm-mm.
You know what his name was? His name was Willie Lopez. Now, I've talked about my friend Willie Lopez on the Phys Ed fields of Bristol High going long. Mikey Missinelli pass.
Yeah, it was Willie Lopez.
Willie Lopez was the villain.
Yeah. Yeah, just miss me with that.
He went down to hell, Willie.
He did.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that that whole character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was that rat. That guy always plays the rat friend.
He had the perfect look.
He did. He's always a rat.
Yep.
Tony Goldwyn, I think is his name. Yes, it's Tony Goldwyn. Well, in a movie, he was like a right-hand man to the president, rat.
I don't remember his face.
Tony Goldwyn, I think is his name. He was a rat
like he was an advisor to the president and in charge of ratness. I can't remember
in charge of ratness.
Yeah, well, he was
official title.
Really, he was a sneaky like conniver, doing the president's dirty work. I forget what the movie was.
I can picture it.
Yeah, all right. St. Clair in Wilmington, Delaware. What's up, St. Clair?
All right. How you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm so frustrated at this team right now. Doc, I don't understand this. How do you let a man score 15 straight points on you and you do nothing? You don't call a timeout. You don't double team him. You don't do nothing. Man, it's just frustrating. I mean, I was looking at, we had them last night, man. But how do you do that?
I agree. I swear to you, I had a flashback that Atlanta Hawk game where like nothing is happening. He's doing nothing to stop it. Yeah, and I'm going, you have given Giannis free reign. He's going to kill anybody that's out there. You know, you got to either like do something different defensively or at least counterpunch offensively. And you got your two best counterpunch offensively on the bench.
And did you see what I played when he dunked it the last? I'm like, everybody,
yeah, that's the third quarter play Tyrone's talking about. Right. Like that, yeah.
Nobody took an offensive foul.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. That's a deuce.
And one more point, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I noticed this from the other game with Phoenix. You know, near the end of the, you know, the fourth quarter when we really needed three pointers or somebody to hit a shot, they don't hit the shot. Man, I see Phoenix, they hit their shot last night. Milwaukee was hitting their shots, whoever it might be. They pass, they come up with a play, pass it around.
Yeah.
They miss it. Tobias misses it. Maxie misses it. And
They get points out of their big three last night, right? Maxie was kind of lost last night.
We need them points at the end of the game, and you got to make them open. They open too.
Yeah, I get it. And you know, it's funny. Harden was asked that question at the game. He has trouble with when the ball swings to him taking the shot. Like, well, what? Come on, brother. You know, if the ball swings to you, you get an open look. Shoot it. And then he said, "Well, I'm so used to being ball dominant that those are unnatural. But I gotta be able to take that. You're a basketball player. It's an open look. Shoot it.
Shoot the ball. I'm like, what are you standing there trying to keep pass? You open. Shoot it.
I agree.
Shoot the ball. Shoot
I agree.
It.
I don't care. He takes 40 shots. I'll be honest.
You
mean with
it. And he was having a good game last night. You know. And that's what another thing. Why didn't he drive? Why you shoot that? Because he was getting the calls last night. He was getting them calls. He went through the foul line a couple times.
I got it. But I can't complain about that look he got at the end. He just misfired it.
Yeah,
all right, man. Here's your general knowledge question.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
In what city did Princess Diana die?
In what city did Christine Diana die?
Princess Diana.
All right, I'm going to say, because I remember she died with that guy in the car.
That's right.
It was over Europe.
Paparazzi chasing.
All right, I'm going to say, it got to be Paris or London. I'm going to say London.
Oh, dude. I heard him say the right answer. He didn't stick with it.
It was
Paris.
Oh, man.
That's a shame.
So my mom and I stopped reading Star Magazine.
Well, at the Princess Diana died?
Yeah. We used to read both
because they were responsible.
Well, they were paparazzi.
They were paparazzi.
Yeah, so we were anti paparazzi.
I gotcha.
Then you fast forward.
Your mom
a generation.
Had a connect to Princess Di.
Yeah,
you liked her.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So now fast forward a generation, and the Kardashians call the paparazzi.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Rather than
things
just
have
wait.
Changed.
Yeah, things have they call the paparazzi and then complain about how their life's not private.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're normal.
Yeah. All right. So we're not off to a great start. We got one in the bag.
We can do it.
We'll pick up.
610-632-0975 is how you come in. Guess who's on the line? We haven't heard from him forever. Look who's on the line. Mike from Creekside. My man. I haven't heard from him in months. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Uh, 2:45, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek Bodner covers the Sixers. Published a picture Ty just sent to me on Harden pump faked and wide open three.
And B created night. That shot. That was the shot.
Yes. Wide open.
You yes. can't get more open than that. He pump faked
yeah.
that.
Come on, James. Just fire. You don't need that yo-yo dribble between the legs to and step back three. Occasionally, there's a three that's going to come your way.
And I think that and having that in mind, though, that could change what you call late in the game.
Yeah.
Because if you go to Embiid, and Embiid does kick it to him.
Is he going to shoot it?
Right. Is he going to just fire it, or is he going to play with it and time is short?
Yeah.
Especially on that last possession. So I'm just wondering, because that would bother me if I was the coach. It would just get under my skin, like, wait a minute. Look at this look. Like, on film, yeah. I'd be like, Embiid got doubled. He kicked to you. Look how open you are. Just shoot.
Doc did say he's talked to James about that thing, and Harden did acknowledge that he needs to do it. So let's go.
Eight games, seven games.
Here are our final four winners, and we didn't mention this at the beginning of the week because I didn't get back till Tuesday, and I forgot about it yesterday. So, John was right from Overbrook to call in, and he's got Duke. They could win the whole thing.
Yes,
but he's got the $50 gift card, Philly Pretzel Factory. Steve from New Jersey has North Carolina. So that was a kind of a surprise, but he's got it. Ed from Wilmington has Villanova, and I think Ed's going to have to be content with just that $50 gift card.
Shut your mouth.
And Sly in West Philly has Kansas, and that could be a total winner.
So it's going to be the North Carolina and Nova people last. All right. Good to know.
I like it.
I'm still not trusting Bill Self. As time goes by and Jay is molding his team, I don't know what Bill's doing.
No, you're right. Hey, listen, Kansas could get creeped out by the way Villanova plays and allow Villanova to keep that score low.
Yes. Yeah, because they're going to use every second. Now, here's the difference between Nova and Virginia. Jay Wright's doing this right now because he has to. He doesn't want to. And next year, they got that kid from the McDonald's All-American last year.
It was the MVP.
Yeah, he was out there balling. Next year, they're not going to play like this. He has to play slow like this because of the horses that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Come next year, they're going to play a real NBA-style offense because that's what Jay likes to do. So that's the difference between, because this offense is very Virginia-like this year.
It is.
But it has to be. So I allow it.
Yeah. Now,
Virginia chooses for it to be. He had lottery picks and was doing it.
He's got the kid. Brian Antoine is going to have to play in this game. Now, he is a big-time recruit who hasn't been able to crack in yet. So he's nurturing him along. And then this kid, Whitmore, who's from Maryland, was the McDonald's All-American Game MVP last night. And then the kid from Derek Whitehead is I guess he's from Ben's old high school.
Ben's old high school.
Cam Whitmore is the kid Villanova has.
Yeah, I mean, but they pump out a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a 6'6", kind of strong dude. All right, let's go to Matt on the cell. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me
What's
on.
What's up, Matt?
So, obviously, this team and even the coach hasn't performed, at least recently for the coach, but, you know, the main players haven't performed in the playoffs and in the biggest games. And that's what we've seen historically. And we all know, like in the NBA, you're a choker until you're not, right? I mean, you saw it with
Giannis. That's not true!
Now you're not. But I guess the concern for me now is in the games that James Harden and Joel have played together in the biggest games, they haven't really performed up to where we need them to be.
Well, did they perform last night?
Those two did, but the team as a whole did not, right?
Well, yeah, but you made a statement that they didn't perform.
No, they performed last night. Did they perform against the Nets? I don't think so, right? So
oh, yeah, Harden did not. Harden had a big game.
Right? So I guess the concern, and just to kind of try to answer the question that you ask, is, like, can they beat a good team in a four-game series? Like, up to this point, like, we haven't seen that they'll be able to do that. And then the question lands on Doc. And I personally don't think Doc's a great coach, right? That's just my personal feeling, like, just what I've seen historically. Yes, he won a championship almost 15 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen him do in the playoffs and even this season, like it's like he can get them to a lead. But the difference is like they should, like, when you get up by 15 points, like, you need to steamroll these teams. Like the Nets did against us, right? Like, you're up a ton against Phoenix, and you're up a bunch last night, and they let these teams creep back into the game instead of having that kind of, like, killer instinct. When you can kind of put a game away in the second and really the third quarter is where you should be, like, able to kind of put these games away.
Yeah, not in the NBA. You don't put a game away in the second quarter.
I mean, it's happened.
It's very, very unlikely to put a team away in the second quarter. These are good teams. You're not going to put away the Milwaukee Bucks in the second quarter. They're gonna make a run. But when you see a run going on and your two best players are on the bench, that's when you got to act.
No, I agree. Right? I'm not saying you can put the game away in the second quarter, but in the third quarter, when you come out of halftime, you can extend a.
You got to coach accordingly. Like, it's not as easy to put a team away in the NBA, but you got to go with the flow of the game. And he saw Giannis destroying an inferior lineup. That's where you got to act.
And he doesn't. And this has been a problem that we've had for a long time, right? Is that he won't call the timeout or he won't make that adjustment when the time calls for it.
Doesn't mean they can't do it. It doesn't mean I understand what you're saying. It doesn't mean he's going to have to do some different things and win a couple games by himself. I hope he assumes that responsibility.
I totally agree. And the one point about Maxey that people talk about him, like him coming off the bench, he doesn't have to come off the bench. But when, like with the minutes staggering, like when they take James out, Maxey needs to be in control of the ball and be able to run the offense.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And for some reason, at least against more recently, right? He played really, really well at the beginning with James Harden, but more recently, he's really struggled to enter into the.
Well, it's kind of on him. I mean, it's on him. He's got breakthrough. Let me give you. Let me give Jared Knowles a question before I let you go here.
Thank you.
All right, this is NCAA college basketball teams by state, but the state it can't be mentioned. All right, so let me go to Indiana. You know, there are seven basketball programs that don't have the name Indiana in it. Give me two of them.
Okay. I believe Butler would be one. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Tyrone's happy.
I didn't like that call.
No, it was too long.
He was rambling. Yeah, he was a rambling, gambling man.
Yeah.
Jen, Indiana, state after your own heart. What do you got?
Butler
is correct.
Purdue
is one of them. Give me another one.
She gave two.
I know, but give me another one. I'm just testing her limit since Indiana is near and dear to her heart.
You haven't said the most obvious one.
I haven't. I thought Purdue was the most obvious one.
Calf tattoo. The tattoo's always on the calf.
I'm singing the fight song.
Oh, Notre Dame.
Yes,
Notre Dame. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm picturing a baby cow. tattoo.
No, on the
not
calf.
Not a tattoo on somebody's
calf. On the calf.
Yes, they, I got it down.
If the fighting Irish tattoo fighting by leprechaun.
Rule,
must be on the calf or something.
I agree. I
can't
know.
Put it anywhere else.
Right. Ball State.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know where Ball State was.
Yeah, Ball State. It's where David Letterman went.
Well, I knew he went there. I didn't know it was in Indiana.
Indiana native.
Yeah.
Evansville.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Valparaiso.
Oh, that's looky Indiana? There.
That's correct.
I probably would have said that was Illinois.
Valparaiso.
Hmm.
Oh. It was Bryce Drew.
Yes.
Made the shock. Right, went heard around the world.
Yes. Before we go to break, Booney looked it up. Harden this season has only taken 53 catch and shoot threes.
Come on, James. What are you having an aversion? You're a basketball player. Well, we know when he first came here, we were going, look how smart this dude is.
Well, yes, right? Yeah.
Like, he's brilliant, but like, that's simple. Come on, James.
53 all season.
That's ridiculous.
That's such a low number.
Let's take a break. We're going to roll into the 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. One line's open. Grab it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show on General Knowledge Wednesday today. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit is good. Come out this hour, what's brewing with Jen at 3:45. And we're talking Sixers, and we'll be into a deep conversation about the Sixers and what happened last night and where it's going to lead. You know, we don't know where it stops. Nobody knows. But I think Doc Rivers could have helped his squad out a little bit last night. Now, there was a question about Tyrese Maxey. I looked at his last few games. So the last 8, read 25, 8, 19, 28, 21, 11, 18, 7 last night.
And the 18 was pretty misleading because he did on like 18 shots.
Yeah. So that averages out to like 17 a game over his last 8.
Yeah, that's what he averages.
Yeah, that's not a bad effort. But, like, you know, he's been able to play as a starter with Harden. I mean, 28 and 21 is with Harden in the starting lineup.
Yeah, the best thing could happen next year. If they did the Beal deal that people have speculated about, and you had Harden and Beal starting with him.
That would be perfect.
Now he's coming off the bench as a killer. Because now he just comes in 100 miles an hour and say, good luck stopping that. That would be optimal.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I know it's hard for people to grasp that this might not be the year.
Yes.
But, they've got a, you know what I'm saying? They're there.
Yes. And it has been out there because people have decided ahead of time that Harden is very selfish and hateable, blah, 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 when the rumor with that is that Harden would take less money to help facilitate that happening.
Yeah.
So if that happens, can you say then at that point he's selfish? If he helps Beal get here, if it was to happen, and now you have a lineup where it kind of doesn't matter who your other two starters are at that point. It really doesn't. And then Maxey can be a super sub. He'd still likely close. You go 3 guards late. It would be fine. He'd still get his minutes. But he'd be 6th man at a year level good coming off that bench. Now you have a potent team.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's just talk this out. By the way, tonight I think I'm going to do a concert.
Oh, who?
LCD Sound System.
Oh, where are they?
Nice.
They're at the Franklin Music Hall. Ford Knights. They play starts since Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Stop over there. Interesting enough, James Murphy, who's the head of it, does a DJ set from like 7:30 to 9.
That's fun.
And then they have the concert.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they're cultish. LCD, they got their own cult following.
Yeah, they got their people.
Yeah.
I got some of that stuff in my phone.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of music, I mean, it happened when I was on vacation. You guys probably talked about it. Taylor Hawkins, that's a shock.
Yeah.
That's such a sound.
It really is. And Foo Fighters, of course, canceled their tour.
Had to.
Over that.
Yeah. That was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I got two of their albums on my. I didn't realize that.
Foo's?
LCD.
I got all three.
Yeah, I got a couple of albums.
But really sad. He had been through a lot. And that's the tough part. When people end up with opioid situations, even when you recover, sometimes, because he was in a coma at one point.
Yeah, he was, a couple weeks.
You know, and then you come back, and then you wonder sometimes, like, is the person ever all the way back when you do that kind of damage? It's just kind of sad.
It probably catches up to you.
Yeah.
So that's going to be hard to replace him.
At this point, I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
Grohl might just have to do more.
You know, Grohl might have to drum.
Yeah.
But see, that takes away, he's such a great, swag front man with a guitar.
He is. But I just don't know. Can you just insert a drummer after this long? Because he's been on basically all the albums.
Well, they did it, he was a replacement, Taylor Hawkins. So I know that was before they were rooted as the true Foos.
That's what I mean. Because, he played all the instruments on the first album, then hired the band. Then that drummer didn't work out. But then once they became established, it's really just been them. I'm sure you can find someone to play the notes. I don't know. We'll have the same.
I think that person's going to have to be more of an obscure part, or just kind of hide, sort of, and just let Grohl just be the guy with everybody else. And another death. Oh, this one shook me too. Tyrone Beansy from The Sopranos and a Pittsburgh connection from Goodfellas. I don't even know what the actor's name is, but he passed away. Can we play a tribute to him?
I'm looking for it. Hold on.
Right.
Put it in the folder. No, I'm not
sorry to
spring
it on you here. Beansy, one of the great characters, who, of course, was abused by Richie Aprile.
Paul Herman
is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And, he appeared in a lot. He was in Entourage also. And, he had all these little parts, but Beansy. Richie Aprile put him in a wheelchair.
I'm not seeing. We have to play it next time.
We'll play that scene from Goodfellas that he was featured in. Let's go to Anthony in Levittown. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
First time, long time.
Thanks, pal.
Is it such a bad thing for the Sixers to lose that game last night?
No, in the overall scope of things, no, because the seeding at this point is like the seeding.
Well, that's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Doc wants to end up in first or second place. I think they want to avoid.
Yeah, I don't think they lost that on purpose, though, bro. I don't think that they lost that on purpose. That was a winnable game that they should have won.
Yeah, but listen, we don't have the horses to go all the way. Wouldn't it be better to let Milwaukee and the Nets play in the first round?
You don't know where the Nets are going to fall right now.
Well,
winning that game last night doesn't mean you're going to get the number one seed.
Listen, they only got six games left, the Nets. The Raptors hold the sixth spot. They got six games left. Seven games left.
All right, so you're saying is that game was for the tiebreaker. So if they lost, they get the Bucks to get the tiebreaker. So if it comes down to the number one seed, the Bucks will get that, and they can face the Nets. That's what you're thinking.
Here's my thinking. It would be a sad day in Philly if we got to go out in the first round to the damn Nets.
I get that. I don't think that the number one seed was necessarily at stake last night. Must be. All right, brother?
He cursed, yeah.
He hung up?
No, I had to draw. He cursed.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't be cursed. Come on.
I have it now.
All right, we do. All right, this is Beansy. Well, his character, I don't even know what his name was his Pittsburgh connection.
Yes.
I don't even know what his name was in Goodfellas.
48 seconds of his stuff.
All right, so here it is.
I don't hear any.
Come on, come back to mother.
He's running from the helicopters.
Yeah.
there, right?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. They're great, great. Now, didn't I tell you about it? Tell me. Didn't I tell me you were about it?
Yeah, I need a hit.
You want to see helicopters? Come on, I'll show you helicopters.
Come on. I've seen enough helicopters for one day, thank you.
I'll show you helicopters.
My plan was I had to get home and get the package ready for Lois to take on her trip.
Also, all right, there it is. Tell me why. Who does that song? What is that song? He uses so many great old songs in his.
I forget that. What is. Who does do that song? I don't know.
Tell me why. Jesus, making that's crazy. Help have me out on Twitter. What is that song in a Goodfellas soundtrack?
Yeah, and he's in there making a helicopter. I'll show you. By then, though, that's the part of the movie that's dark.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, in real life, the Pittsburgh connection was fixed in Boston College games.
Yeah. Oh, that's George Harrison.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, George Harrison.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, Booney.
Booney comes up with it. So those were the guys that were supposed to be modeling and the guys that fixed the games in Pittsburgh. Like Pittsburgh mob guys who fixed the Boston College game with Henry Hill.
Right. And I remember him talking about that one. And then, of course, our own Jim Lynam was part of a bit of a scandal back in his day.
With the St. Joe's team. 1960-61.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Couple of players on the take.
Mm-hmm. It's no good.
No, you can't have that. You can't. Yeah. You can't have it.
Nope. It's funny because one of the guys, believe it or not, in that Boston College thing, an unwinning participant in it, was Mike Mayock's roommate.
Really?
Yes. Mike Mayock's roommate was on that team and was one of the guys that was approached and got involved in it. And Mike Mayock was a football player, but this guy was a basketball. Rick something was the guy's name on the basketball team.
Right, right. For people, we said George Harrison. You don't have to call
Dan George Harrison.
To just tell him,
people call in.
Yeah.
I get it, yeah.
George Harrison.
It was George Harrison.
Booney got it.
Right.
We're good. No, just because they're going to be calling him to tell him he's got to do all the stuff back there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those songs you keep going, all right, you'll get it. If you keep singing it, you'll get the guy. Ali in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ali?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Look, I know it's a little late, but I just don't understand if the Sixers really want to win, how come they ain't go after the guy from Atlanta Hawks, number 8? The center for the backup, even though we got Jordan for nothing, but it was still a trade line.
Who are you talking about?
His number is 8. I don't know his name.
What do you think? You just click your fingers and get a guy?
Well, it was around the trade time, and this guy's like the third guy to come off the bench. You know, because then they got Callan and that other guy. They really don't play this guy.
Gallinari? Gallinari wasn't available. And he's not a center either, but he wasn't available.
Oh, well, I didn't know. I just figured since it was trade, they should have went after him.
He wasn't available.
Well, you can pick everybody to go after that's going to help your team. It doesn't mean it's feasible you can acquire him.
I mean, he a third-string backup. He don't even hardly play games, and he's just as good.
You're talking about Gallinari. He plays for them, doesn't he?
Huh?
He plays 25 minutes a game.
He plays 25 minutes. You must not be thinking of Gallinari. Who are you thinking about?
The dude, number 8, he plays.
Gallinari.
That's Gallinari's number 8. Yeah, he plays 25 minutes. He's an important player for them.
All right.
All right.
He's watch your language.
What are we doing here? Another guy. Now we got to rebuild the. Let's do. Come on. Come on.
People.
Yes, let's speak properly. This is FCC regulations. Yeah, we can't roll that way.
You're putting me in a bind. You're putting Booney in a bind.
Exactly. Oh, so let's restack it. Here we go. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Joe Knowledge Wednesday. We're playing for a pretty good, cool prize, a $50 gift card. Two lucky listeners will get it. The Beer and Cigar Superstore, B&B Beverages, located in Doylestown.
And we're not going to hit our over-under if we keep having to drop all these people.
Exactly.
Bad language.
I want to give you a chance to get the question right.
Now, listen. We want to, if people call in about a player like that and facilitate, he says number eight. Yeah. I look up who wears number eight for the Hawks. Yeah. It's Gallinari.
Right.
Gallinari plays 25 minutes a game for them, and he shoots 37.5% from the three on four a game. They're not just going to trade him to you because they use him. No, I'm saying they use him.
See, that's the thing. People think, oh, there's a guy. Well, she get, well, you know, trades are hard. Like, you have to give value. Like, you just can't click your fingers.
Right. And John Collins may have been available in a hypothetical world. The problem is the Sixers used their assets to get James Harden. They don't. They did. The Sixers at the trade deadline did not have enough assets to get James Harden, in which you did have to part with two guys, one guy who was starting for you, another bench guy.
Yes.
They didn't have enough to then go get John Collins, hypothetically, or many other players, because how much can you actually trade at the deadline anyway?
Well, I want to know why they didn't go out and get Steph Curry. Why couldn't, like, you know?
Yes. So, so it's just... yes, but that's why they didn't get number eight for the
Hawks. Eight for the Hawks. I thought you were like talking about some backup, like Georgie Zhang or something like that. Like Gallinari, he's an important player for them.
Yes, he has worn number eight for them, and he doesn't only. By the way, he's playing more minutes slightly this year than he did for them last year. So it's not just the, oh, somebody got hurt. He played 24 minutes last year. He plays 25 minutes. He's an important bench piece for a team who still has playoff aspirations. Mm-hmm. They plan on getting into the playoffs, and they think they can do what they did last year.
Correct.
That's what they think. So, therefore, they're not just going to give you contending, helpful players just because.
Right. I know. Like, we want it all. I get it. I know where our eyes are bigger than our stomachs when it comes to acquiring players, but it's hard.
And last night, Gallinari wouldn't have helped you a bit against Giannis, because he don't defend nobody.
Yeah.
He was able to hide on Ben Simmons last year, but you can't. There's no hiding spot with that something. Bucks team.
Hey, no Italian basketball player in history has ever played defense. All right?
That is correct. Let's
just get that right.
Right.
Italians are brought up, shoot it.
And he does do that. But he doesn't really play defense.
Disregard defense. Yeah. Make a basket.
Giannis gets that same 40 if Gallinari's last night. He gets that same 40. Maybe it's more. Maybe he gets more. And you're like, he made a couple threes, but Giannis got 55 because he was gone.
Bellinelli couldn't guard Jen.
Nope. Jen crossed him up. I saw it. Jen crossed him up. He fell down.
All right,
now let's go. Let's reset.
Let's go. Steve on his cell. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Steve?
Oh, my God. Y'all had me cracking up. I'm talking things right after I get to my sister's point. What's up with my man Shane? Like, you know, I heard you say it a few weeks ago. I don't know how long ago. Like,
Yeah. I know.
Shane, because, you know, he can score in his league now.
He made a basket last night, right? He made a little medium-range jumper, boom. And then he got into the basket losing the left hand, which he does very well. Yeah. Right. I would love to see him. Like, I don't know what it is that he sometimes takes himself out.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, can Doc draw up some plays for him so he can play the way he plays when Embiid, you know, when Embiid and Harden aren't, you know, playing in the game? Can he like take the lead? Like,
hey, listen, man, I don't know if you draw up plays for him, but like he's a good enough player, like, to have the ball and use the bounce to get a bucket. I like, he's got to have to will it and really be determined to do those kind of things when he's in the game. Sometimes he's just content to fade away.
Right, the way Maxie's been doing sometimes.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
But, exactly. Real quick, though, two acts. That dude, Willie Lopez, you know, the one from Ghost, whatever.
Yeah.
He played The Godfather 3.
I don't remember The Godfather 3.
No, in the beginning.
What was he in Godfather 3?
When Vincent, what's his name? What's Garcia, and when he was in the apartment with Bridget, what's the girl, the white girl, whatever. I can't.
Yeah, I've only seen Godfather 3, like maybe it was.
A lot of white girls.
Yeah.
The two dudes who came to put a hit on him when he was in his apartment with the girl.
I got you. He has a fierce look about him, Willie.
He does. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And that dude,
the guy from Goodfellas, Beansy and Sopranos.
Yeah.
He always plays in a lot of De Niro movies. Like, he's always like a second, like, he's in.
Yeah, his face is prominent in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he
was. Who are you talking? You're not talking about Kay, right? Are you talking about Kay, the woman?
What, in good in
Godfather 3? That Keaton?
No, the guy, Andy Garcia's character. Remember in the beginning?
Yeah, but who's the woman you're talking about, the white girl?
Her name was, she was in Single White Female, the movie Single White Female. She was the one who...
Bridget Fonda. Yes, yeah, okay, I got you now. Fonda, yes.
He was in an apartment with her. And
yeah, I got you.
Yeah, the two dudes...
That's right, you're right. That's why that was Willie Lopez. All right, man, let me give you a general knowledge question here.
Okay.
Easy general knowledge is the category. You hear that? Easy general knowledge.
All right.
What first name was used by at least 18 different French kings?
Oh, my God.
French kings. First name.
I'm going to take a guess. Pierre?
That's awesome.
That's a great guess.
It's Louis.
Tyrone had that one.
Louis, yes. What other name could it be? Louis.
That's
Louis.
A Henry.
Yeah, they had, well,
Henry.
Henry would be in
Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Louis.
Pierre's a great
Louis.
Guess.
Pierre the first. Meanwhile, it's like Louis 14, Louis 29. Pierre the first. Yeah.
Great cognac. Yeah. Great cognac.
Yeah. That was a
expensive cognac.
I should have given him that hit.
Yeah, he would have got
great cognac. 610-632. We are struggling. Folks, we're struggling. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show, General Knowledge Wednesday returns.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for Twitter poll update at 3:30. Oh, here we go. There's LCD.
Yeah, I'm losing
my edge.
I'm losing my edge.
Very different.
The kids.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah. No, I do. They're different.
Yeah, they're very different.
Yeah.
And of course, Daft Punk was playing in his house at one point.
Yeah.
he has an interview with people. It's the number one question he gets. Daft Punk really playing in your house?
Really?
Yeah.
Because they had that song.
Yeah, Daft Punk is playing in my house. It's a great song.
It's a good song, yeah.
But so they ask him, did Daft Punk really play in your house? He goes, no, it's just a song. Anyway, it's time for Twitter Paul Update. That's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. Jen, what do we have at 3:30?
All right. Do the Sixers' losses to the Suns and Bucks lower your expectations for the team? 32% say no, they'll get it fixed. 68% say yes, they're lacking. So that's up a bit.
Sounds wonderful. All right. I was thinking that Tony Goldwyn, I found out what that movie was where he played the presidential aide, the henchman, scheming, conniving rat.
Yeah.
It's the Pelican Brief.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? Pelican Brief? Mm-hmm. And the president was the dude who was an I Spy with Bill Cosby back in the day.
Oh, God.
Robert Culp.
Oh,
was
yes,
the president.
You're right. Yes.
And Julie Roberts was in the movie playing the Darby Shaw. Denzel is the reporter.
Good old Denzel.
Wait a minute.
It's a good film. Good book,
yeah,
too.
It is. Yeah, it's a Grisham book.
He was in Godfather 3. I'm looking at it. But
Tony Goldwyn was in Godfather 3. What did he say? Not Willie Lopez.
Not Willie Lopez.
No. Willie Lopez.
Willie Lopez is in Godfather 3?
Yes.
Not Tony.
Tony Goldwyn didn't play Willie Lopez, though.
No. I thought you were talking about
him.
Willie Lopez was the guy who was the murderer who killed him. And then he went down as a ghoul in Ghost.
Ghost, right.
Yes. He's no longer with us.
Right. He passed away.
in the 90s.
With Tony Goldwyn was in? Is he talking about the guy that I'm talking about? Tony Goldwyn was in Godfather 3?
No.
Willie Lopez was.
Yes.
But since died.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we were talking about two different
people. Oh, I thought you were talking about Willie Lopez.
So Tony Goldwyn was the friend of Patrick Swayze in Ghost, who did him dirty.
Yes.
And got him killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the character I'm talking about. Always plays the snide, conniving rat.
Yep.
Yeah, but he was in something else.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Wasn't he on a TV show recently?
Yeah. He was in, what was the TV show?
I'm looking it up.
Scandal.
Scandal.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Because my wife would always watch Scandal.
Yes.
I never watched it.
Yes. And he was in love with Olivia, but was married. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was in Scandal.
Yeah. He was just back. He was just had no backbone in Scandal.
Yeah, he's always like he always plays a guy that's weak.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's a weak backbone man.
Yeah, Pelican Brief was only his first, second.
It was after Ghost. Yeah, it came after Ghost.
Yeah, it's only his sixth movie period.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been in a lot of movies since then.
He played, his name was, we had this real preppy name, Fletcher Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Fletcher Cole was his
name. He wears pastels.
Yep, it was.
And he did dirty deeds for the president.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to the president.
Yes, he is Fletcher Cole.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phones. Mike at Creekside. What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen.
What's going on? Where you been, Mike?
I have been so disappointed with all of the Philadelphia sports that I just took a hiatus to get away from them, and now we go with the Sixers.
Well, what were you disappointed? The Eagles overachieved, don't you think?
No. I think the division underachieved.
Okay, that's fair.
With the Sixers, mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey should be the lead point guard. He puts more pressure on the opposing defense. It seems like James Harden comes down with the ball. It's basically a two-man game. Everybody runs to a spot-up situation, and nobody's sure exactly what's going on. And the other thing that I dislike is when they do take a three, they leave nobody back to try to grab a rebound. They just, okay, it makes it, it goes.
Here we go with this offensive rebound thing again.
Pardon?
Never mind. Go ahead. Keep going. You're on a roll, Mike.
Yeah, you know, so with that, but I just think the ball should be more in Maxey's hands than James Harden.
Yeah, well, see, but then you're defeating James Harden's strengths if you do that.
Well, his strength is it. Well, I'm not defeating his strength because if Maxey has the ball and he's distributing, Harden has to get to his spot, and if the team is collapsing on Maxey.
No, you're right in theory, but that's not Harden's strength. Like, he's not.
Are you playing to Harden, or are you playing as a team to win?
Well, but you're playing as a team to win, but if you defeat Harden's best asset, you're not going to win.
What's Harden's best
asset? His best asset is he's got a ball-dominant player, and he creates off of that.
He doesn't create. Max, this is what I'm saying. Maxey creates more situations than Harden does.
Basically, do you look at Harden's assist totals?
Well, I'm looking at what I'm not sure the totals. I don't keep.
Well, he's like a double digit assist guy. Come on, Mike. He distributes to the point where he gets double digit assist every night.
Yes, but Maxey could still get it. And Harden still, if he's the number two option.
Yeah, I don't believe that's the best way to do it, bro. I just don't. You can't turn Harden into just a spot up shooter. He's a great creator with the ball. He sees the floor. He gets the ball at people. You can't take the ball out of his hands.
Well, you're taking. Well, that. Well, then that's the trouble. But Maxey with his speed. Is better with the speed and puts more pressure on opposing defenses than Harden does, even if Harden does distribute.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you about Maxey's speed, but this is not you're miscasting Harden.
Well, I'm still just, I'm looking for the betterment of the team.
I am, but it's not the betterment. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. It's not the betterment of the team. I get where you're high on Maxey and the speed, but it wouldn't be for the betterment of the team if you took the ball out of James Harden's hands. Dominic and Glenside, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dominic. Yo, Dom.
Yo, what's up?
You're on, buddy. Come on, let's go.
You know what? I'm out here having a conversation about a dog. Why you guys have me on hold here. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, buddy.
Listen, I'm going to keep it real simple. I truly believe it all comes down to Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris. I'm just going to focus on Maxey for a second. Last night he shot 3 for 11. And against Phoenix, he shot 3 for 10 from the three-point line, 7 for 21 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Until he realizes that he can play and should be on the court with the elite teams, that's going to hold us back because we can't. You can't expect to win if guys are not hitting their average.
I agree 100%. Maxey's got to grow up in a hurry, and maybe he's not ready to grow up in a hurry. We've seen now in three high-profile, really good teams where he's had these kind of performances, and he's young. You know, I would love to fast-forward his life and make him a more experienced player, but he is what he is right now.
Yeah, and you know what? I think as a fan base, we have to be a little bit more educated and understand that because we're putting all this. It's easy to point the finger and blame, oh, Doc should do this, and you're right. He does need to do a better job with substitute, and he does need to do a better job with developing some of the young big men he got. And I think, because quite frankly, his backup bigs, they both are burnt. I mean, Jordan.
Well, I think Doc's realizing that because he didn't play him last night.
Yeah.
But he went with Millsap, and that killed him.
Millsap would never even make it into the warm-up line with me.
All right, so what are you going to do? You going to play DeAndre Jordan? See what it is? It's like a death trap, a suicide rap.
I got to go with these young
kids. Get out while you're young.
Bite the bullet. Right. I just got to bite the bullet because these guys are so bad that they pain me when they're on the court. In addition to that, they shouldn't be getting these minutes. I mean, they both had a good career, but it's over.
But you got to figure out what you got to do now, bro. Listen, I know it's over, right? But you got to coach your way through this thing right now. Now, what you said about Maxey is right. He's got to assume a burden that maybe he's not ready for. But like last night, Doc Rivers really watched the team get back in the game because of who he had on the bench.
Excellent. You're right. That was a bad, bad coaching decision.
Yeah. Yes, it was. All right, man, here's a general knowledge question. Ready?
All right.
We need to get one right here.
Well, I had Louie right, but you gave it to the wrong.
All right. Well, this is famous movie scenes. Man on a bench holds a box of chocolates.
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Yeah! Yes, sir. Forrest Gump. There we go. That's a breakthrough.
Finally.
What a great scene, too. Oscar worthy. Just that one scene. You take that one scene and you splash it with a caption that says Tom Hanks, and you got immortality.
That's a violation. That's a violation.
Quit it, Mike. Just quit it.
I mean,
excellent movie.
Yeah, he's so compelling.
Scene.
Sit on that bench talking to that old woman. Yeah, man, I couldn't get over it.
I sat on that bench.
A tear to my eye. The emotion. That was poured out of that scene. Just ripped me apart.
You better quit
that's
it.
Just
over
that
there.
Scene. That's most of them. You know what? Now have you just hating on an American classic at a time like this?
Yes, they filmed it in Savannah, and I went to school outside of Savannah, and I sat on that bench.
Buses going by at the same time, brilliantly shot.
Now you're ripping Spielberg. Like this is troublesome. Like
not good.
America's dealing with a slap. Heard around the world, and here you are tearing at American institutions over there and feel comfortable doing it in our time. We need comfort.
Completely comfortable over here.
Right.
See him.
No, it was a great movie. 610-632-0. No, it was a great movie. Great performance by him.
Quit lying, Mike.
Yeah, I don't like what you're doing.
Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's time for What's Brewing. 3:45 every day we do it on the show. What's Brewing with Jen, our own Jen Scordo, finds three interesting tales for us to discuss. And apparently she got a corker today that's going to get me engaged. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrone does. Anyway, this is brought to you by Dunkin'. It is always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. All right, Jane, what do we have today?
Okay, I'm going to leave that one story for the last because I really am very curious about your opinions on it. Okay. So we're going to start in the UK. Mm-hmm. If you have $500,000 laying around, you can buy a legitimate Barbie house. The house is pink. Everything on the inside is pink. All the furniture is pink. The pool table is pink. There are pink neon signs, pink beds. Everything is pink, a la Barbie.
$500,000?
$500,000.
For a house? How big is it?
Doesn't say.
It can't be that big over there. Now,
really not.
There was the show that was on Netflix for one season called like Amazing Interiors or something like
ooh,
that.
Ooh, never saw that.
Yeah, it's still available. It's like 2018, 17, something like that. And I think this house was on the
show. Oh, really?
And it really is Barbie.
Well, I think some Barbie freak will buy that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's neat. Know.
Yeah, I think, and it's, did they show the exterior or just the interior?
Both.
Yeah, I think that it wasn't always pink on the outside. I think it was, like, unassuming at first on the outside.
Oh, okay.
And then you got inside and was smacked in the face
with
pink and Barbie stuff. And there are people in that lane who like that. I think that'll sell probably fairly easily.
Fairly quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
Well, of course you are. It's not for you.
Yeah,
of course you are.
I mean, listen, $500,000 for a house these days seems like, like you're stealing.
Right, so especially.
The way things are going.
Yeah.
You're right, so if you buy the house, even if you don't like Barbie, you can paint. Mr. Glidden. You and Mr. Glidden go over there.
But don't take it away.
You can't use Glidden.
Well, whatever.
No, I found that out the hard way when I bought my house. So we used the good bear paint, and then at the end we were like, man, we spent about we had to paint. I showed you the pictures. Like,
yeah.
We had to paint every room, every single inch of the house.
Can't skimp on paint.
So we tried to go with the glitter at the end.
Yeah.
Man, we had to do 97 coats.
Yeah.
The bear was one coat. One and a half.
It's worth it.
A lot of people say, paints are real expensive now, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, good paint is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
People go, this is just as good.
And it's not.
It's not.
That's
how they trick you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a crazy story. Best man steals bride from groom after confessing his love during their wedding speech.
What?
Yeah, I saw this story.
Right? It's crazy.
But it didn't happen immediately, did it?
No, it didn't happen immediately. So, bride and groom getting married. Best man stands up and literally confesses his love to the bride.
During the wedding.
Yeah, he was in the party.
And it was really kind of awkward, and everybody got silent for a while. The bride and groom go on to be married for a year. Their marriage breaks up. After that year, the best man then scoops in. Now they've been married for 10 years, and they have 4 kids.
Yeah, happily ever after they lived.
Yes.
He was a male friend. You know how guys hang in there as male friends of a hot girl?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Tyrone
and I know. Yeah, they just kind of lurk. Oh, no, she's my best friend. Your sister's your best friend.
It's so cute that Jen thinks that all her male friends are actually her friends.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cute.
It is cute.
That you think that.
It really is cute.
At least one of your male friends is just waiting, like it's double dutch, waiting to jump in there. Just can't wait to jump in. If you think, ladies out there, if you think, now some of your male friends are,
naive,
but if you think all of them have just the purest of it, you're naive and silly.
No.
They hang in there like Furcon Quirkmouse. They're content to be the 11th man until they get a chance to play.
Mm-hmm. How do you make it out of that wedding alive?
I don't know.
No, I'm being serious. Like, I'm not advocating violence. I'm saying that if that happened at my wedding,
you know,
it
wouldn't
even just been up to me. He wouldn't have made it out of the building with his life.
He had the cape of being her friend. So people looked at it like, oh, well, they're just so good friends that he loves her so.
Nah.
But he was friends with the groom, too.
But the woman first.
Right,
though.
Yeah.
Like, longtime friends.
And so they did end up being friends.
I can tell you that there was a big glass behind me, and there was a boat dock behind my wedding. He would have got put through the glass and then into the river. And I wouldn't have had to done a darn thing. He would have never gotten married and had children because he would have died.
No, you would have been okay to do that. Like, it should have been like one of those old vaudeville things where Kane comes out and rips the guy, you know, he's in the middle. He had a couple pops in him.
Oh, of course.
And he kept going on and on.
Yeah. All right, here's the story. So I am a huge fan of the country star Eric Church. Are you a fan, Mike?
Don't know him.
Okay, well, I am a big fan.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, Eric Church is a big fan of UNC. He had a concert scheduled in Texas for Saturday. Yesterday, he canceled the concert, saying openly that he's going to the Final Four game.
Did he do a redo concert?
Hasn't yet.
He hasn't. What if you were traveling?
No, listen. It's your responsibility to your profession and your fans to do the damn concert. You can't cancel out to go to the UNC game.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He did say it's the most selfish thing he's ever done.
He admits that he's selfish. It's like, dude, you put that in the closet. You're going to admit that? Like, it's...
He admitted it.
See, he's in a tough spot because if he just cancels it and says illness or something like that, then the fans are going to wonder why he's up in the Final Four.
Right.
Because I bet you he's not going to go sit in the suite. He's going to have close seats because he's a celebrity.
Yep.
So he might even have front row seats out there so he can't lie. But I think he was a little too honest here. There's got to be a line.
I agree.
He's a little too honest. And what about people? Jen is traveling
to the concert.
Right, Jen's traveling this summer for a concert.
Yes. What if I get there and, you know, a couple days before, Zach Brown cancels the whole concert because they want to go to a sporting event? I would be so angry.
If you're an entertainer, you can't risk losing fans.
No, you can't. No. And people are divided on it. Half of the people say, hey, go ahead. I get it. You're a basketball fan lifelong.
Yeah.
I understand.
So, in other words, pleasure of seeing a game was more important than perform it for them who bought tickets.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Can't do it.
I don't like it at all.
Oh, so you're down at Eric Church? Are you done now with him?
No, and that breaks my heart because I love him so much. And I have traveled to Atlanta to see him. I have gotten on a plane and flew to Atlanta to see him before.
It's heartbreaking for Jennifer.
And I would be very angry if it didn't happen.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
We'll get a song on the other side.
Yeah, Eric.
Now, I want to ask you.
Is any relation to Charlotte Church?
No.
Well, I know her.
And he did grow up in North Carolina, so I mean.
He's probably a real fan, but I have a scenario off of that. Now, Brian Brennan works for NBC Sports Philadelphia. He produces pregame and postgame and Sixers Outsiders. He does a great job. Love Brian.
Yep.
He went to North Carolina. The Sixers went there. The Sixers are playing a day game.
Yeah.
So we'll be done by the time the Final Four games start this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But he said that he was going to have to take off work completely if the Sixers were a night game. Is that at all a violation then?
I don't think so.
He would miss work to watch the Final Four.
Would that have been a violation? Well, I guess he is kind of.
I guess you could take a day off of work to... Yeah, you know, like, but this guy is a headliner of the concert.
What if it was during the playoffs? What if the timing was different?
I don't think Brian would take off during the playoffs.
Right.
But Eric Church is wrong.
I think he's wrong.
I think he's wrong. And also, like, did he go there?
No, he did not go to UNC.
So it's like...
Yeah, see, that's flimsy.
I agree.
Yeah. What time's the game?
Oh, I don't know. Six something probably.
6 something is the first game and eight something the second game.
Is that Duke North Carolina play at 8?
I'm not sure the schedule.
You could squeeze it in the concert if it was at 6.
He's going, but it's in Louisiana,
He's going to the game.
Yeah, he's going
to
go.
Let me get the times. Yeah, so Nova, 6:09.
All right.
Carolina, 8:49.
Yeah, he couldn't do that.
He couldn't make it in time.
Couldn't make it.
All right, well, listen, he risked the wrath of his fans.
I kind
of
thought you were going to go the opposite way.
I thought you were going to side with the UNC. No, I side with the people.
Oh,
I'm about the people, Jen. What don't you know about me?
You're just
I'm a man of the people.
Tom Hanks is loved by the people.
They can still love the movie. I'm not ripping them. I'm just saying this is the private people.
I agree.
Yes, he's wrong. He should do his job.
Yep.
All right, 4 o'clock hours straight ahead. We're going to rally you on General Knowledge Wednesday.
Are we?
To reach our goal, starting with the 4 o'clock hour, because no guests at this point. So we're straight talk, straight questions, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. All right, let's recap what's going on today. It was a loss in the regular season, and the final standings will be what they be. So it didn't, like, affect that part of it. One regular season loss is just what it is. However, it begs the question, can they beat a good team four times? That's really the only thing that matters at this point in the playoffs. So let's try to analyze that premise with what happened last night. And I'm going to start and go backwards. All right, so the end game, they look like they have a chance to take the lead or tie it. Certainly, Harden misses an open look badly. But the ball does land in Embiid's hand, and in his mind, he doesn't have enough time to gather and maybe dunk it, so he puts it up soft, and a great block is made by a great player. Okay, so now, before that, they have a possession coming out of a timeout. Well, weird circumstance where Embiid's got the ball at the top and doesn't look like there's any plan, and the Bucks sealed something off, so he was forced to put the ball on the floor, got off a decent look, but obviously it didn't look like a play that was together. So now we go back to the start of the fourth quarter. And this is where the important stuff comes in. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo scores like 13 straight points. Sixers have a double-digit lead that is now shrunk. And they can't combat what Giannis is doing because their two best players are on the bench. And so they don't have the offensive firepower. And they didn't make any defensive stops because Millsap is in there trying to guard Giannis, which is a total joke. So after the game, Embiid has a couple things to say about that. And I take it, the things that he said, as, you know, maybe Doc Rivers mismanaged that part of the game to allow that to happen. And so what he said is, the game really changed when I went to the bench. I didn't think we, at the end of that third quarter, beginning of the fourth, their best player scored like, I don't know, 17 in a row, whatever that was. We didn't do what we had to do, and they made that run. They cut the lead. They gained some momentum. And it carried over. And they got a little more specific later in the interview after the game where he says, the whole time I was on the floor, I made sure I was there to help. I thought we didn't follow that strategy. He's talking about that part of the game. We didn't build a wall, and he had a lot of free reign to just attack and get whatever he wanted. And that changed the game. And here's the important part. Maybe next time just match up the minutes. Mm-hmm. That's a salvo shot right at the feet of his coach.
Yep, and Doc can't take offense to it because he didn't say his coach was dumb or blah, blah, blah. He's saying it as a suggestion, but clearly he's saying what he's saying for a reason.
They gave up 37 points in the fourth quarter. Giannis scored 15 points in under 2 minutes with Millsap in the game. That fuels 37. You can't win a game. You can't close out a game. You're going to give the other team 37 points in the fourth quarter. So their defense didn't step up to the challenge. A couple things differently could have happened. And it rolls back to the big question. Can they beat a good team four times?
I would say no.
Talent-wise, I also would say no, which means the coach has to steal a couple games with savvy moves.
Yes, because the good thing is they're in the games. Being in the games means that a couple of things bounce differently, you can win those games. That's both Sunday, and they arguably played the best two teams in the league back-to-back, arguably. There's other teams in the mix, but the Suns are the best team, mm-hmm. and the Bucks are right there, and the defending champions. They know how to win, and you saw that pedigree. Doc never did anything different. How about this? There's times where Embiid doubled on the catch. So when the ball's in the air, as soon as he touches it, boom, it's two people. Giannis is catching it clean and just flowing to the basket. By then, the guy's chiseled out of granite.
Yeah.
It's too late at that point. You got to stop that guy earlier, mentioning the wall. And if he makes jump shots, well, then you lose that night. But he's not going to make jump shots enough to beat you consistently. And everyone knows that at this point. And some teams don't have the ability to slow it down. The Sixers hypothetically do, and Doc never went there. At least not late. And that's odd to me.
Yeah. All right. So the chips will fall where they may. Not enough time to do anything drastic to change anything. So they are what they are at this point. All right, before we get to the phones, I want to play this because this is an example we were talking about yesterday where national people come out of the woodwork and make statements that are foolishly undereducated. And that's why I go to our good pal, Mike Greenberg. And, yeah, he once was a buddy. My buddy Mike Bonanno, we used to play that soundbite every now and then. So here's what he said today. And Hembo, he's saying this to Hembo, our good pal Hembo, who's a Philly native. And his dissertation is an anti-Harden dissertation. Here's what Greenberg said this morning.
There are 132 players in the league that have attempted 200 layups and dunks. Three of those players are shooting below 50% for the season. Three of them. Out of 132, James Harden is one of those. And they talked about how Harden, he and Bobby Marks had a conversation, how Harden uses the ball as a weapon. He actually is hitting defenders with the basketball because he can't get by them. And I will say it, look, I cannot believe I find myself in a position where I will be standing on a chair cheering for Kyrie Irving. But I could, after what he has done, never root for James Harden because here's what it is. He quits on Houston. Gets himself what he wants, gets to Brooklyn. Quits on Brooklyn, get himself what he wants, goes to Philly. Is completely out of shape still and is going to cost the Sixers whatever it is they might win and is still going to get a $250 million contract extension from Philly. So I cannot possibly root against anyone more than I'm rooting against him and thus also you.
Okay, so I don't know what his beef is with James Harden, but that's a guy that goes overboard to say things and that he's misinformed. He uses the ball as a weapon because he can't buy him. Well, he's been using the ball as a weapon since he was in this league because he's figured out that's a way that you can shield off the defense by using the ball. So that's A, where he's misinformed. B is he's not out of shape.
Not at all.
He's got a hamstring situation that he's trying to nurse through it. Come on, Greenberg.
He's not out of shape. He's really not. The hamstring is troublesome. And if he's lost a step, he's lost a step. But he didn't lose a step. He's not out of shape.
This is what I'm talking about. No, you're saying, like, get your hands in the cake. It's easy to sit there and go, oh, James Harden, this and that, talk this way. Look at the whole situation before you spout off.
And, okay, there have been players unhappy with situations before. So does he also hate LeBron? Does he also hate any other player that changed teams? I mean, if he does, fine, but he definitely doesn't. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
OKC to the Warriors, and then, like, he just...
It's a typical thing that we were talking about yesterday. But these national guys had this Philly taint. All right, let's go to Don in media. Don, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Don.
Hey.
What's up, Don?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
Love it. I was actually going to say that I agree with everything you said, but I still think the Sixers will go a little way in the playoffs. I'll tell you why if you want.
You think they're going to go where in the playoffs?
At least the second round, because they're not going to play Brooklyn to start. And maybe they go seven, because Brooklyn can't answer anything at center. They can't defend against two players. They proved it with Atlanta. Under this coach.
You're saying, like, that would be a failure to me if they lose in the second round.
Oh, yeah. But people are saying they're not going to go anywhere. I mean,
well, I think that's what they mean, not going anywhere, and also includes losing in the second round.
Yeah, well, he really is an awful coach. The only good coaching job he ever did was not killing George when he was coaching him because George had just broken up with Doc's daughter to date a stripper.
He did win an NBA championship.
Yeah, He won an NBA championship.
That's just what we're saying here. The team doesn't have Paul Pierce and KG and Ray Allen, right? So you got to have to now coach your way through this. That's what we're talking about.
One of you guys said that he can't coach defense. And now he's got, you know, the best matador not in Spain, in Harden. I mean,
that's an old take.
Well,
he plays more defense than you think. He plays better defense than Maxie does.
Well, then you're really stuck.
All right, Andy, listen, you want a general knowledge question here?
Yeah, I'm going to nail it.
A 1990s decade quiz?
Well, yeah.
All right, here it is. Who became the first democratically elected president of Russia?
Ooh,
he liked his alcohol.
What is his name? He ran around naked on the street with in Washington ordering a pizza. He's got white hair. Boris or other. Yeltsin.
Yes, that's correct.
Likely a Google, but he got it. We're desperate.
Well, I don't know if that guy.
We are desperate.
Very used to Google. I think he was just an older gentleman.
Yeah, Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked his drink.
He did.
Things have gone. Nah, you know what?
Well, what happened?
Doing a sports show. No,
Russia? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, why not? Where's Boris? Boris passed away?
I don't know what's up with Boris.
Did he die?
But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, in 2007.
He's been going that long?
Yeah.
All right, pour out a little for Boris.
There you go.
Pour out a little white vodka?
Yeah, a little vodka, whatever you got. I mean, I don't know. What else?
Yeah, it's
got
to be vodka.
See, that's the one thing. I've never heard a Russian person push back against that vodka thing. You know, there's some stereotypes where the people push back with that vodka thing.
I think it's a pride thing.
I've met Russian people down the shore. I've a bunch of stuff, and nobody's ever pushed back about that vodka thing.
They love the
national
vodka.
Beverage.
Yeah,
but there's people here that like don't just we drink beer. Like Americans consume a lot of beer.
Yeah,
there'd be plenty of people out there. Oh no, I don't drink beer. I only drink IPAs because that doesn't count because I'm fancy. And oh, I would never do this and that. But it seems like most Russian people I run into embrace the vodka.
We embrace apple pie.
I like apple pie.
I mean, that's pretty American.
Yeah. Joe in Churchville. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Joe?
I did not call to totally bash Doc, but the longer I've been on hold listening, it's almost impossible not to. Now, he did win an NBA championship 14 years ago with three Hall of Fame players.
Yeah.
In the interim, he has blown three 3-1 series leads with uber-talented teams, the only NBA coach in history to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sixers lore, let's not forget that he single-handedly lost Game 1 last year because he decided Danny Green on Trae Young was going to be a good idea.
Correct.
Well, you're right about that.
So, you know, all those things. But the big, you know, aside, you said he's going to have to make some savvy moves to win some games. Okay, that's not going to happen, as we've all watched. You watched it last night. But the bigger crime in it, in addition to not being a great in-game coach and everything, is his complete unwillingness to play any young players. Like, he literally had the guts to say after the game last night that he considered playing Paul Reed, but he wasn't a good matchup on Giannis in Milwaukee, a game that he didn't even play in. But in November...
No, he played in a game against Milwaukee, yeah. But
The Sixers won before the break, Mike, in Milwaukee, when the Sixers played great. It was a great win. Reed did not play 1 minute. Look it up. But in November, when Embiid and Harris were both out and the shorthanded team was playing the Bucks, the game I went to, Reed did a really good job playing Giannis for like 25 minutes of that game, a way more than credible job. And he looked like a guy, hey, here's a guy I could throw for a few minutes at Giannis or at Durant, somebody long with some length. But you know how we would find that out? He would play some during the season.
No, you're not wrong about this. Now it's too late, though.
No,
you're not wrong. This is a major problem with Doc Rivers that he, and Tyro was talking about how Nick Nurse developed kind of an unknown but athletically talented guy, and now he can use him in certain situations.
We watched it last year. Like, we had a kid last year who's now a major component of the team, and I get he's developed some from last year, but I watched him in a game at the beginning of the season when everybody was out with COVID, scored 39 points against the Nuggets, and instead of saying, hey, you know what? This kid could be a weapon. Here's a kid I could bring off the bench for 5-7 minutes when the team's stagnant and can't score and set him a high screen and say, go, kid, go get us some points. Like, look what the Heat did the year before with Hero in the bubble. You know, he was a rookie, and he was one of their most important players. But we don't do that.
Well, Hero, like, to be fair, he was a higher pick. So you have
how much higher? Hero was like the 13th or 14th pick in the draft, Mike.
Paul Reed was a second-round pick.
It's a big difference. Pick in the draft.
Oh, you're talking about Max. Well, he's playing Maxie.
I get it. And I don't know. I'm not calling here to say, hey, Paul Reed's a superstar. He's going to shut down Giannis. I don't know. But he has the backward philosophy.
You're not wrong on it. You're not wrong on him, his use of non-use of younger players to develop them so they will be ready now.
If you're going
to
have Mike DeAndre Jordan and Paul Millsap on your team, that's fine. I wouldn't if Doc Rivers was my coach because I would know what was going to happen. So Morey deserves some blame. But those guys are break glass in case of trouble. Like, if you're in trouble in a playoff series, they've been in playoff series. You put them in.
Yeah.
Now, he did this with Maxey last year. He brought Maxey in Game 6 against the Hawks, and he was great. And then in Game 7, he didn't play him at all. Like, you know, so he has to go, and it's probably not going to go unless something tragic happens in the playoffs. Yeah. So it's a catch-22.
Yeah,
so,
I got you, Joe. Let me give you a question here because you know what you're talking about. This is a good category. NCAA college basketball teams by state. But you can't have the name of the state in the college. And we earlier went into Indiana. I'm going to go to Illinois now. There are 5 teams, college basketball programs in Illinois that don't have the word Illinois in them. Give me 2 of them.
DePaul. No. Yeah.
That's DePaul. One. That's one. DePaul's correct.
Paul. Illinois, Chicago, the University of Chicago. Does that count?
And no, that's not a basketball program. But you know,
give me a sec. Okay? This is just random, man. I couldn't get any of those. I'm barely.
Well, Chicago State would have been an acceptable answer. Loyola of Chicago would have been an answer. Bradley. Hersey Hawkinsville would have been an answer. And Big Ten.
That was the one to get.
Northwestern.
That was the one.
Should have got DePaul. Northwestern, I thought, would be easy.
Yeah, those
were the two.
Yeah.
And that's where all the smart kids go, Northwestern.
Yes.
That's right.
The Harvard leaders. Of the Midwest.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
With the foremost journalism program.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. Syracuse is for broadcasting. Northwestern is for journalism. Yes. Those two schools.
And Columbia.
Yes, but, you know, in there, we're 0-3, and we're doing all right.
We are.
None of us went there. We're doing all right.
That's right.
I wish I would have gone Northwestern.
I kind of do, too. But
it's cold
more,
out there.
But more because of the Chicago part. I would like to have been a younger person in Chicago. I don't think I can fully wrap my arms around Chicago at my age in the way that I would want to.
I love Chicago.
Yeah, because I can't get out in them streets. I hit the wall. I was out there this summer. I hit the wall. I couldn't hit the streets the way I wanted to. So I would like to have had more time to really.
Michigan Ave?
Yeah, to really get after it.
Yeah.
Instead, I was like, you know, I was doing it as much as I could, but, you know, I could only hit 97 on the gun once in a blue moon. Back when I could all the time, that might have been the time to be out in Chicago.
It's just too cold for me.
I went to Wrigley Field once again, Wrigley Field, and my buddy Joe McEwing.
Oh, yeah.
Who has played in the league for a while. Now is the third base coach of Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. He's with the Cubs.
Okay.
So I call him and said, can you leave me a couple of things? Yeah. So I go and I forgot my wallet. I was with a girlfriend at the time.
Oh, so you have ID to show.
I have ID.
At the wheel call.
I didn't have ID. So I'm scrambling around. I go, can you make a call to the clubhouse? And the guy goes, I can't. And so I'm so a bit panicked. So finally, he rings the clubhouse line. Joe McEwing answers the phone.
What?
No way.
He answers the phone. He goes, hey, I'm looking for McEwing. He goes, that's me. He goes, so there's a guy out here that said you left him tickets. He goes, is it Mike Missanelli? He goes, yes. He goes, yeah, give him the tickets.
You got lucky, Mike.
I was totally lucky. I would have been shut out completely.
610-632-0975.
Mike Missanelli Show continues. Couple lines open. Good time to get in. Grab them.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:30 Twitter poll update time. And the Twitter poll brought to us by Paulie Moyer and Sons in Doylestown with Jen Squirtle with the numbers. Jen.
We now have two Twitter polls today. First one, do the Sixers' losses to the Suns and the Bucks lower your expectations for the team? 33% say no, they'll get it fixed. 67% say yes, they are lacking. And Twitter poll number two, Eric Church canceled a concert to go to the Final Four. Is that a violation? Right now, it is dead even, 50-50 on yes and no. I told you that it was absolutely divided. Some people say it's all right. Some people say absolutely
not. Yeah, we're provincial like that because, like, if you, we've had these discussions before where you're going to miss the Eagles game to go to your friend's wedding.
Right.
And people say it's a violation.
Yeah.
The problem is, this guy is accepted by a fan base, and it's disrespectful to his fan base to cancel a concert for his own personal edification.
I've been gone.
This is Eric Church.
Yes.
Singing my songs on a room, another town.
Is this a big one for him?
It was when it came out, yeah.
And I'm coming home.
Don't give a damn that.
What these keys I hold. I'm on a
it's got a unique voice.
He does sound a little different. Find out.
Yeah, he sounds more twangy than your usual country guy. He's twanger.
This is old school. I kind of like old school sound of country. My issue with the country, well, I've talked about it. These people aren't country. He's country. No, this is country.
Very twangy. Yeah, it's not my...
Well, I wasn't suggesting that you would like it, but some people might not be familiar with Eric Church.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's Eric Church.
He writes. He plays instruments. He's talented.
All right.
Very talented. I'm mad at him right now.
Yeah, well.
And I'm not even going to the concert.
Yeah, you should be mad at him as a country devotee.
I am. And I love
it. A little joyous. Yeah, Georgia came out.
Yeah, it came out a little bit.
Every once in a while.
You hear that twang. And it's then you get the twang.
It's true.
The twang.
It is absolutely true.
The twang triggered her.
It is absolutely true. I hear a southern accent and whoo.
That's all right, though. It's charming. Southern accent's charming.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. The only bad accent. Well, even Boston I could live with on a lady. Pittsburgh and the Midwest. Ugh.
What's the Midwest?
Oh, like that howdy dude. Like,
the Pittsburgh accent is the worst accent of all time.
I agree. That's the worst of all of them.
Yeah, it just sounds dopey.
But I can't imagine a woman trying to be, like, sexy in any way.
With that accent.
With the G-golly. I mean, you betcha.
I told you, I had a girlfriend that had a heavy Pittsburgh accent. It turned me off.
Yes.
It was like a Seinfeld.
That is an episode of Seinfeld.
It is.
But the Southern accent... many a woman has had that that's been attractive, but the
big time.
The Midwestern, oh, Michael, good to see you. Like, that's not going to do the job. That's not going to do the job.
I hear you. But speaking of concerts, you know, I was in town last night at a monster concert.
Judas Priest.
Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Eagles, yes.
Judas Priest played the whole Hotel California album.
I know.
And other hits.
Now, I think I did actually a good deed.
What?
Because I've had a bit of a battle with my wife's cousin, who's a big Eagles fan. That's his favorite band.
Uh-huh.
And I would pick with him about.
Yeah. Yeah, you go back and forth with this Eagle thing.
I made sure he had tickets.
Oh, you did?
Now, No. I'm not saying that for credit. I'm saying that for hopefully this is the olive branch that squashes the beef when we go to family functions going forward.
Well, really, this beef carries over for real? For real?
A lot of it's my fault, and it's
Eagles oriented.
Yeah, a lot of it's my fault. To be honest with you, I'll hear a band, and they say, "Man, these guys are the best." Bet you don't think so. The Eagles are better than them. Like I'm starting it a lot, so I figure I owed it to them.
Well, that's a nice gesture. You're still not gonna like the Eagles. So how's it gonna squash it?
I'm not gonna pick with them anymore because, truth be told, he was
excited to go.
Of course he was.
And it was really cool to see somebody excited to see their favorite band. I can't be splashing cold water on your favorite band.
I'm looking at this playlist. And Vince Gill was featured, you know, had those songs that Glenn Frey used to be featured on. So they did Hotel California, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane.
That's good stuff.
Wasted Time, Victim of Love. Victim of Love. Yeah. Pretty Maids All in a Row. I don't remember that. Try and Love Again.
Yeah, like that.
Hanley.
That's good.
The Last Resort.
Like that.
Seven Bridges Road.
I love it.
I don't know that one.
Take It Easy.
Oh, of course.
One of These Nights.
Oh, that's a good one.
Take It to the Limit.
I love it.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
Yeah, that's good.
Peaceful, Easy Feeling. That's a Glenn Frey action.
Yep.
Tequila Sunrise.
Beautiful.
Witchy Woman.
Yeah. I like that. Right?
That was Monday night, yeah.
In the City.
They performed that too?
Yeah. I can't tell you why.
Oh, well, I love
Lion
that.
Eyes.
Nice.
Life's Been Good, Already Gone, and they went with Joe Walsh Funk number 49.
That's pretty good.
And then Heartache Tonight, and the encore, four-song encore, Rocky Mountain Way with Joe Walsh pounding the guitar.
That's good. Great.
Desperado.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
The Boys of Summer.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, and Best of My Love. Now, that's a concert.
Yeah,
that's
that was Monday night. Yes, that was good stuff. So, I got to stop being a jerk about it, is really.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
I got to stop.
Like, yeah, man. These guys are 70 years old.
They're rocking.
And apparently, people that went said, because he said it, Greg and everybody, they said they went hard the whole time. They don't need a lot of, like, water breaks.
Yeah, it's like a three-hour concert.
That's what I mean. They're out there spilling it still. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, very impressive.
So I got to stop, like, just messing with them about
it. That's nice of you to come to that conclusion. And nice gesture. This ticket's couldn't have been cheap either.
I didn't buy them.
Oh.
I said, okay. I got
it. Oh, you called in a favor.
Yeah, I called it a favor. I've never done it before.
You walked down the hallway?
Jen told me what to do. So for the first time, I've never done it before.
Jen hasn't paid for a concert ticket in a long time.
I have. So honestly, I didn't know what to do. Jen kind of told me. Oh, they sent out an email asking. And I actually said, hey, but it wasn't for me. I had him in mind thinking, all right, if I get these, I'll make sure he can go.
That's nice.
So, but it wasn't really about the credit. It was more calling myself out, like why am I messing with the guy for no reason?
Mm-hmm.
He likes the Eagles. And I'm fine with them. Yeah, I just happen to think they're the best band ever.
That was big, yeah, man.
But that was cool.
Yeah.
And I heard it was a really good show.
But does he get back on you for Queens of the Stone Age?
No, because he can't. Because
he can't.
They are the best band.
See, so now, come on.
Man passed.
They're not the best band.
There's a man that passed.
Yeah.
That band now.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, they've been without him for a little while. That was sad. He never got COVID, never fully recovered, unfortunately.
Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You talked earlier about Forrest Gump. I'm with you. I can't stand that movie. And Tyrone, you got to stay strong on this Eagles thing. I think they're not a very good band.
They are. Oh. They're a very good band.
Why? Drew, come on. Come on now.
Nah,
not
man,
a very good band.
They're garbage.
All right. They're garbage.
No, not my thing. I mean, they're just too, I don't know.
You're a metal rocker, though, aren't you?
No, I'm
what
a
are you?
Fan.
You're what?
I'm a jam guy.
A fish jam band song?
Yeah, man, Casey Boy.
Oh, you're a
doing the fish thing. Like yeah, him and Casey Boy. Grateful Dead, too, right?
You're a fishman?
Oh, yeah, man.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, okay. And so I like a little bit more rocking and jamming. But anyway, about the Sixers, I know a lot of people are, you know, are losing it, you know, over last night's loss. And, you know, I'm not going to really, you know, jump off the shelf right now, Mike. I know it was a bad loss, but I think that game really could have gone either way. You know, a few mistakes here or there. The ending obviously didn't go the right way. You know, they missed a couple opportunities, but I'm not worried. And you brought up the question, you know, can they win four games? You know, and I really think they can win four games in a 7-game series versus any team in this league. I think if they, you know, granted, you know, not everything's going to go well at every game of the night, but I think they can put four games together over a 7-game series.
I can too, if the coach can be savvy enough to overcome the lack of talent from top to bottom.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work from everyone, from the coach to every player on that team. It's not going to be an easy task by any means, but I think they have the potential, and I'm going to stay strong and believe in the Sixers and hope they can win the next 7 games and go into the playoffs really strong.
All right, Fishman. here's your general knowledge question. It is from the easy general knowledge category. Okay. What TV character had pointy ears, was extremely logical, and said, live long and prosper?
Sorry, Tyrone. I know this one. It's Dr. Spock.
That is correct.
You say it's sorry before. I want him to get it right. That was a good call. I don't know why he's hating on.
He's really hate the Eagles. That's out of line. Nobody that can is hate out of the line. Eagles. It may not be a fair bet. I mean, they've run the test of time, and their legacy of gold albums is like bigger than anybody in history.
You're right. Yep. To me, they're very unhateable.
Agreed. Yeah.
They're unhateable. Yeah. Like, almost anyone would probably, like, even if you didn't know Eagles songs going in, if you went to the concert, you probably would enjoy yourself.
Yes.
That's how I kind of love. There's some bands, like, if you went to Eric Church, Mike would not like that.
No, you would hate
the Eagles.
No,
I would get bored really quickly.
The Eagles, I don't think you could get bored. Like, they're just.
No, they're a full band. They got a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
Great musicians.
And they're not all their songs sound the same. They have the ballady type stuff, but then they still have the faster stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And I prefer their ballady stuff. I've noticed that when you were doing the rundown.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like the slower Eagle songs more than the fast songs. Just
all right. I like them. Let's go to Greg in Lancaster. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
How are you doing today, Mike? You guys have totally thrown me off because, like, you started talking about the Eagles, and I know that Tyrone's a Queens of the Stone Age fan. I've actually seen both of those bands. And, like, Queens of the Stone Age were great. And the Eagles, I mean, that's a legendary band. But, like, the Eagles today with Vince Gill, it always reminds me of when I saw The Who shortly after John Entwistle died. And Pete Townsend said, "We're just pretending to be The Who today." And I thought that was pretty cool what he said.
So the Eagles don't fulfill you now because it's Vince Gill instead of Glenn Frey?
Well, I'm sure Vince Gill's good.
To me, Henley is the Eagles, and Glenn Frey. I appreciate his work, I think that. Vince Gill apparently is pulling off the Glenn Frey songs very well.
Well, I don't know.
That's the feel.
I saw the Eagles when Glenn Frey was with him. I'm sure Vince Gill's doing fantastically. By the way, another thing, LCD sound system, great. I'm more of a Daft Punk guy, but whatever.
Well, I think they're fans of Daft Punk, LCD.
Well, yeah.
That's why they did the song, Daft Punk is Playing in My House.
But anyway, about the Sixers.
Yes.
It's not all about this year. I think anything that happens this year is a bonus. I think Daryl Morey definitely knows he has more work to do. And I have confidence that he'll get it done, you know?
Daryl Morey?
The general manager.
Oh, in the offseason. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, no. I agree. I think he'll, you know, in a quiet moment, I bet you he would tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, anything that happens, just if they, you know, win something, great.
Yeah. All right, man, here's your general knowledge question.
All right.
Famous movie scenes, athlete in a locker room makes his agent uncomfortable by quote-unquote air drying after a shower.
Jerry Maguire.
You got help on that. You're right. Is that your wife? Is that your wife yelling the answer? That's a violation.
Oh, but we need the right answer.
Your wife saved you?
That's a violation.
All right, Greg, hold on a second. They made that obvious. She yelled it
quick, too. Like,
yeah, she knew that
she
one
knew
quick.
Right away. Right away.
All right, let's take a break. Quick break, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
46, Mike Mastelli Show. There's some interesting baseball odds that just dropped. Over-under totals, home runs, and RBIs. Let's go into 3 Phillies players that are on the board.
All right.
Bryce Harper, over under number total home runs this season is 36.5.
I like that number. I actually like over. Hit one a mile today.
Oh, you hit another today, huh?
A mile.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually like over, mainly because the protection, the better protection this year, you're going to have to pitch to him some. They were real careful and he hit 30-some last year. I think he's going to hit 40 this year. Honestly, I think he goes over.
Okay. RBIs, 100.5.
That's tougher. I actually think he's going to end up going over there as well. I do. He is that guy.
If he goes over 40 home runs, that should be attainable.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I think
yeah,
he gets
over. Schwarby.
Okay.
Over, under number. What do you think it is?
What do you mean, like 30 and a half?
34.5.
Oh, that screams over for me. It does. That screams over.
However, RBIs, 85.5.
That makes sense to me. Because he's going to be batting.
Lead off hitter.
Yeah. So if he's going to hit, he's going to hit a dozen or more solo home runs to lead off games.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. He might hit like 10, 11, 12 to start games. That's one RBI apiece. Yeah,
going over on both or under on the RBI?
I'm going under on the RBIs.
On the HRs.
Yes.
So you went over on two HRs, which means these guys got, that's thunder. You're talking about now 75 home runs with those two.
Yep.
All right. Nick Castellanos.
Quickly becoming a fan favorite.
Yes. Home runs, over under number. What are you setting?
32.5.
31.5. You're right there.
Close.
So are you going over?
Well, it's at a half. I'm gonna go with 32. So I'm going slightly over.
Slightly over.
Yeah.
RBIs for Castellanos, 95.5.
Oh. That's
what
a big number.
About?
I'm going over.
That's a lot of ribbies with those three dudes.
Yeah, that's going over. And then the thing is, I think Reese is good for 35. I think I'm now guaranteed, because Vegas is saying it too. They're going to hit. This team's definitely going to hit.
All right. Well, those numbers are really enticing. A lot of bombs. We love bombs.
And we have
a lot of bombs in the house.
You're right. And established guys. Like Harper's not fly by night. Like he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Schwarber's done this. That's one thing he can do. And these guys can really hit. And now Reese can just settle in. And just hit his 35 with no pressure. And Stott's going to be the everyday third baseman.
Yeah. Phil's got drubbed today by the Tigers.
They did. But
not as bad as the Nationals.
the Cardinals, that game's still going on. The Cardinals are up 29-8.
Yeah,
that's insane.
In that game.
Did they finish scoring? Did they score 16 in that inning? I saw 15 the last I looked. 15
that's unbelievable.
In the inning.
All right, so Philly's hitting today. Schwarby 1-for-2.
That's
Moniak with a knock off the bench in relief of Schwarbs.
Of course.
Good boy.
Segura, not 0-for-3.
He'll be all right.
174. Harp had the home run today.
Mm-hmm.
She struck out twice also. Not much hitting in the lineup today. Gregorius had a hit. Nick Maton with a hit and one appearance. Stott was 1-for-3. No extra base hits for the Phils. Kyle Gibson, 7 hits and 5 runs today in 4 innings. Not having a great spring. Brogdon got shelled again. There must be something wrong with him. They say his velocity's down. He got 3 hits and 2 runs innings work.
That's why they made that small trade today. But that guy they got apparently hits 97.
Yeah,
so maybe
does.
They're trying
he's
to replace that velocity that he's missing with a different guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's gotten out of double A, that guy, yet, though.
I mean, figure it out.
Knebel, 2 strikeouts in 1 inning. Dominguez gave up 2 hits, but struck out 2. They have up no runs. All right.
There it is. What did Stott do? I'm sorry, did you miss
Stott
it?
Was a single, 1-for-3.
Okay. Because I think he's going to be that guy.
Played third base today.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think Bohm, you mentioned it yesterday, I think Bohm's up out of here.
Bohmy no play today.
Yep, and I think Stott is going to be, opening day, he's going to be a third base.
Reese was 0-for-3, he's hitting 200.
Sorry.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We'll take Kim in Levittown. What's up, Kim?
Hello.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, how are you doing? Hi,
good,
guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to talk about, first I want to talk about the Sixers, and then if I can, I have a for Ty.
Mm-hmm.
A very pressing question for Ty.
Okay.
But first, I want to know why or who told George Niang he can dribble and drive to the basket?
Well, I mean, I guess he's trying to change it up a little bit. I hear you. That's not his best. Yeah, it's not his best asset. He's not a great athlete. But, you know, occasionally he can get his beef into some defender and get there.
Two games in a row, him try to drive and fall looking like Patrick from SpongeBob.
He's not the most athletic guy, but occasionally he's trying to keep somebody off guard. I mean, if you can get to the basket, you can get to the basket.
Okay, you try it once. You don't try it like four times. I saw it like four times in the last two games.
Yeah, but, I got you. I hear you.
That was frustrating. I'm not in the camp of I thought we had to win the championship this year by getting Harden, like knowing everything we went through with Ben Simmons. I think just Embiid keeping us alive all season to even attract someone like Harden, that to me is like a successful season. Of course, if we get out in the second round, I'll be so upset. But I think next year, definitely we have to win the championship.
All right. So you're allowing for an elimination, though?
No.
That's what I'm hearing, Kim.
No. I think we definitely should be. And watching, I like the way we played, even though there were losses that we should have won. Mm-hmm. I think we can win against either of those two teams in seven games.
Yeah.
I really do. It's going to be tough. It's definitely
tough. If they lose in the second round again, I don't know. I would say, okay, I get it. I expected it. But it wouldn't feel right to get losing the second round again.
That, to me, would be more on Doc. I really would have to say. Because he frustrates me, too. Especially with the lineup choices he has.
All right, Kim. What do you want to ask Tyrone?
Okay. Tyrone, don't get mad at me. And I'm not going to compare you to anyone on TV. Because I know you don't like that. But I follow you on Instagram. And we both follow. This is a question I'm dying to know. We both follow Britney Spears. And I noticed that you like every single one of her posts.
That's right.
So I'm just curious, are you a fan of Britney Spears, or are you like me and you just like her online content?
No. I'm trying to support Britney. I'm trying to support Britney because Britney went through a tough thing. So I like everything that Britney does in an effort to support what Britney's doing after all that she went through. I feel bad for Britney.
I can respect it.
So every post, I support Britney because I'm trying to support Britney. So even when she's doing those funny spins that she does and those same beige shoes, those Dookie Brown shoes, and she's just spinning or she's just typing rubbish, I'm just trying to say good for you, Brit.
Okay, good. Well, you could come over to my page and like my stuff too, Ty.
All right, well, what is your handle?
It's Kimmy, K-I-M-M-I-D, 314.
All right.
There you go. You're in, Kimmy. All right, here's your general knowledge question.
Oh, gosh. My husband didn't get home in time to help me, but go
ahead. That's right. I think you can grab this. 1990s decade quiz. All right. So this happened in 1990s decade. What disease infected 180,000 British cows?
Mad cow disease?
Correct. You didn't need your husband? Hold on a second. You didn't need that husband.
Nicely done.
All right.
You know what's funny? Of course, I am number one Britney fan. Britney Spears for life. Every single post on Instagram that pops up for Britney, the first name I see is Tyrone's.
That's right. I support all the things that Britney's going through.
Kim noticed that too.
Well, she's often naked in them as well, so they're easy to like.
Yes.
That doesn't hurt it. But I support the ones where she's talking rubbish and fully dressed, too.
What was the other one? Like, yesterday or the day before, it was like four pages of just nonsense.
Support. It's a blanket thing with Britney. She always gets the like.
Me too.
I just want to support what she's going through.
I agree.
But I got a feeling that she's not 100% back.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
I have a feeling.
I think it's a couple wires.
Unfortunately.
Soldered.
Right. Little extra solder. And then I don't trust the fiance and the age difference. And all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So I just want Britney to know, hey, we're here for you.
Yeah.
That's
we got
important.
You, girl.
For us, because she's one of us.
She can come on down to Philadelphia anytime.
Weren't we close to getting her on the air? One of the callers.
What?
One of our callers' wife was involved in her management team.
What? I've never met her.
This is before you came aboard, and we were trying to work it, and then his wife shut it down.
Ugh.
Well, we tried. The 5 o'clock hour is straight ahead. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli's show coming down to that final 5 o'clock hour, which is always an adventure. If you want to be a part of it, 610-622-0975. It's brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second to 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Just call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDED, or visit goguida.com. All right, so the Sixers in major tests against the Nets, the Suns, and Bucks come up small. And the question is, and it's a regular season, so again, put it in a box. But it does lead you to the question, can they win four games against a good team? I don't think their team is talented enough to actually just do that naturally. So they're going to have help from the head coach, who didn't help them last night, I didn't believe. But, you know, I'm watching that game, and also, you know who irritates me on the Bucks? That stink box, George Hill.
I knew you were going to say that.
I hate him. I think he's a thief. And I have a really hard time with him because I love Devon Gibbons. Mm-hmm. And Devon, to me, George Hill looks like Devon a little bit. But he's just like 9 minutes last night. Just every time he steps, he hears cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Like he's got change in his Nikes, this dude.
Yes.
Look at his stats in 9 minutes. He shot a free throw.
Yes.
Come on.
He does look like Devon.
Thief.
So, a little bit of news.
What we got?
From the same guy that did the straw poll.
Oh, boy.
Bon Temps.
Yes.
Tim Bon Temps.
So, the league asked directly within the last 24 hours which teams are fully vaccinated. Because the Raptors are going to make the playoffs, and they're not going to be allowed to go to Canada. They're not playing games. Mm-hmm. Now, we know teams like the Nets obviously aren't. So Kyrie couldn't play in a series in Toronto. Wouldn't be allowed to enter the country.
Yeah.
The Celtics and the Sixers both declined to comment, which opens up the possibility that everybody's not vaccinated.
On the Sixers.
That's
on the Sixers and the Celtics. Now, the question is, are we talking about a Korkmaz level guy to where it won't matter? Or are we talking about an actual real player? I guess we will have to find out.
Well, that's troubling.
Yes. Now, Harden, we know, is because he was actually playing in Brooklyn.
Right.
We know Embiid is because of the same reasons. So I'm pretty sure the starters are, but that could be Shakes' back was hurt. Is he not? He would be an important player.
So you got to go to the last Nets game to see who didn't play in Brooklyn?
Well, no, road team players are allowed. That was the flaw with the rule. But we know Harden because he was playing home in Brooklyn, so we know.
Right.
And we knew the Sixers got like a bunch of people vaccinated last year because that's how we found out Keith Pompey ended up informing me that Simmons was vaccinated. He got vaccinated when the Sixers all got vaccinated, the bulk of them during last year. And the Sixers had an outbreak when a lot of teams had an outbreak. But it's just something to watch for, but they declined comment. That doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't, but other teams just say, yeah, we are.
Well,
and then that would also be big for the Celtics. If somebody like Tatum wasn't,
you know,
they could lose that series.
It's a story. People that cover the team, I guess we're going to have to inquire.
When did they go to Toronto last? The Sixers.
Been a while ago.
Could that have some indication?
So December. So therefore, so that's good. Everyone of note, the important players all went to Toronto.
Okay, that's good.
So they're good, and we know Harden's good. So that means most likely, because that's a good point, Booney, that means most likely it would be a fringe player who probably isn't at the top of the rotation.
Okay.
So that's a little bit helpful for us to deduction. And it had to be, obviously Harden had to be, or wouldn't have been able to play all those home games when he was with the Nets.
Yeah.
So he is. And that means that the important players are. So
that might end up being a bench player, but I'm pretty sure they would lose their, no, I know they would lose their playoff shares. Mm. That player, because that's in the book. If you can't go, you can't get paid. So the playoff shares aren't huge, but you wouldn't get that money for those games.
So they played December 28th in Toronto.
Right. And Embiid was there, and Maxey was there, and Thibault. The important players were there, and they added Harden, who had to be.
Joe didn't play in that game.
So he could be.
Muzz played.
Okay. Daniel Green was
he
hurt.
He played. So
he was hurt.
Daniel Green was hurt? Yeah.
Yeah. So he could be a candidate.
Could be.
To watch.
Right, you just don't know.
Jordan wasn't on the team, and Jordan wasn't in Brooklyn. He was in L.A., so he's another one to watch.
My God, Tyler Johnson played in that game.
Remember him?
Oh, wow.
10-day contract Tyler Johnson from the Northeast. Yeah. He looked like he's from the Northeast. Yeah, so that would be the two to watch then. Daniel Green, we'll have to find out, and Jordan, because we don't know about him because he was in a...
Yeah,
so those are the two rotation guys, and I guess we'd have to find out no Millsap we know because he was playing home games for Brooklyn.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Annette's on a cell. Annette, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, howdy.
Hello, Annette.
Hi, howdy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I had a suggestion for Doc because you said whether or not the teams could make it to four wins.
Yes.
I believe if Doc was to use his timeouts more wisely, more like the other team did, the Bucks did to him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to wait until the very last opportunity. He doesn't interrupt the momentum of the other team. So it happened when James Harden made a three-pointer, then the Bucks coach called the timeout to kind of sort of ruin the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it again when Niang hit a shot. He just came in and hit a shot, mm-hmm. and he called the timeout. So I think if Doc used his timeouts more timely.
I think that's a good suggestion. He has been late to the trigger on some timeouts. But like last night, he sat and watched a defensive meltdown with his two best players on the bench and went and put up with it for too long.
Right. I agree. Because there was times when Embiid should have been back on the floor just to stop the momentum.
Yes, exactly.
Now, my second one is a question. Can you name any NBA teams that do not currently have former Sixers on it?
Can I name any NBA team that doesn't have a former Sixer on it?
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at the rosters, so there's a lot of teams. No, I couldn't do that right now.
Okay.
Do you know?
At it. No, I don't know because
he's
a Sixer on almost every team. Every time I'm watching the games, I'm like, wait, he was
Who are you talking about? Give me some.
Like Shamit on one of the teams.
Oh, Shamit? Well, he's been tossed around, though.
But he was here.
Yeah, he was here. He's been here, yeah.
But when you visit every team they're playing, Bucks mm-hmm. had Hill,
mm-hmm.
right, yesterday. Yeah. So when you look at all the teams, you consistently see former Sixer players.
Yeah, I think you could probably say that for a lot of teams, though. Because, a lot of guys are passed around the NBA as role players.
Yeah, but I was just saying, see if you can name one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll look at that. That'll be our homework project.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, now I'm going to give you a general knowledge question. You ready for this?
I'll try.
All right, this is NCAA college basketball teams by state, but the state's name can't be in the university basketball program's name. Okay, so now if I go to the state of Massachusetts, give me two teams with Division I basketball programs where the name Massachusetts is not in their name. Well, this should be very easy.
Not for me. I'm a Sixer fan, not a...
come on. Division I college basketball universities in Massachusetts.
Okay. Is there tell you the truth, I do not know.
Oh, man. Well, you got to go to one city. He's got to one city.
Yeah, Boston College and Boston University would do it.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, there is Harvard.
Harvard?
Harvard, yes. Is Holy Cross.
Oh, Holy Cross.
And there's Northeastern.
Oh, Northeastern.
Instead of Northwestern.
Yeah, Northeastern. Not as good.
Big hockey program.
Yes. Yeah. So was BU.
BU's
big hockey. Yeah.
And, of course, BU is where Patrick Chambers started out his coaching career.
Yes.
As a head coach.
Okay.
Yes. I wonder if he had known what was going to happen would he have stuck around and tried to get the LaSalle job.
Huh.
Because he was a special assistant. I just wonder if he had known what was going to come.
But they haven't filled that job.
No, and they're losing everybody. Every player's now in the portal just about, and they have no incoming recruits. They're close to fold status if they don't do something. I'm serious. They won't have any players. They're close to fold status. Because what's the point? No coach, no players. What the hell are you doing? I hate when you fire a coach and don't have an idea of what you're doing next.
Yeah.
Unless the plan is to just fold the program, and I haven't heard any of that. But it just looks like it. If you have no players, why bother? I mean,
it's so hard to get a player there. I mean, it's got to be
because of the facilities.
Yeah, it's got to be a JUCO, or it's got to be a transfer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony in West Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony! Tony's not there. Enzo on a cell. What's up, Enzo?
What's up? Is it bad? I'll take it off the Bluetooth.
Do that. That's cool. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. So I don't have a lot to talk about, but I overheard people worried. I'm not worried about I'm falling in the camp. I'm not worried about the Sixers not winning it this year because we're building nice. Just can't wait to see our bench get a little bit better. And,
All right, so you're looking at this as a launching pad type of thing, and they don't necessarily have to do anything for you this year.
Well, what I really want to see is what Doc does in the playoffs with Joel and James, because they need to be playing more. They're sitting down too much, in my opinion.
They're sitting down too much. They're playing for almost 40 minutes a game.
That's not true!
I want to see them 44. They need to be in there.
You can't play them 44 in a regular season.
In the playoffs. Not the regular.
Well, in the playoffs, they're going to be playing 40 minutes a game.
They need to be playing 40 plus.
You can't do that in the playoffs. You can't do that.
They need to be in there when we need.
Yeah, nobody does that, bro.
Okay, but when the other team is on a rampage, get Joel back in there.
Yeah, well, I hear that, but you can't be playing them 45 minutes a game. Nobody does that.
Mike, what did I hear driving that you said Glenn was not the Eagles and it was all Don Henley?
I said I favor Don Henley more than I favor Glenn Frey. I didn't say it was all Don Henley.
Without Glenn, there wouldn't have been any Eagles. That's all I want to say on that. Glenn was a major part of the Eagles.
Okay, if you had to dispose of one, who are you disposing of?
If I had to dispose of one?
Yeah.
Timothy B.
You what?
Timothy B. Schmidt.
No.
That's not a choice.
Of the two. Of the two.
Oh, man, I can't pick one. Oh, if I had to
You had to pick one.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's kind of what my point was. Yeah, that was my point.
Yeah. Fair point.
I'm taking hens. I'm taking the hensman. All right, here's your general knowledge question, bro.
You don't want it this year, I'm not let down by it.
You ready for general knowledge?
Go ahead, Sean.
It's easy general knowledge. You should not get this.
All right.
What major city is served by Heathrow Airport?
London.
Correct. There you go.
That little chuckle, I thought he wasn't going to get it.
I knew Tyra was going to get the boo for that guy.
Yeah.
All right. He gets it, though. So what number are we on now for the over-under?
Seven. Also, that Toronto rule came in after the Sixers played. So,
all right.
We don't know.
So we will have to find out when they play them. They play them next Thursday, I believe.
Oh, that's the unveiling.
Yes, I believe we will find out about the 7th. Now, again, this is pretty narrow.
Uh-huh.
It would only matter if they play Toronto in a playoff series. If they don't play Toronto, none of this matters, but Toronto's been playing well, and there's a chance that that's the 4-5 matchup if the Sixers were the 4, because Toronto's catching up to the Bulls, who have really struggled. So it is in play, but it may not matter in the grand scheme of things, but I'm interested in who plays. And the Celtics, though, had a game just last week against them, and Brown and Tatum opposed rule, and neither one of them played. They said it was injuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it could be them, and that would be gigantic for the Celtics to lose the way they've been playing well, for them to lose because they just can't have Tatum or Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rooting for that, but it's something to watch for.
It is. Vicente and Lansdowne checking in on General Knowledge Wednesday. I'm shocked.
Hola.
What's up, Vicente?
Hola, amigo. You know,
that question that you just had, I was in London in Heathrow. I arrived in Heathrow Airport. That was easy. I could have got him.
Of course you would have gotten it.
Yeah.
You get any of these questions. You'll slay any of these. You're going to be our 8th W.
All right. I wanted to talk about the fact that the Eagles, I went to see the Eagles maybe 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
before the pandemic. James Taylor was opening for the Eagles at the Wells Fargo.
I knew it was going to be a James Taylor story.
Yeah. So, Jackson Brown, you know, he helped Glenn Frey, you know, take it easy and the other songs.
That's right. He'd take it easy. It was the song that that he co-authored with him.
And the Windsor, Arizona, you know, standing on the corner in the Windsor, Arizona.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. The Eagles, Glenn Frey and Don Henley, left out and expelled and push out Don Felder. Don Felder gave them the hit.
It was more Fry's beef with Felder.
No.
Yeah, they had up. If you saw
by Don Felder,
but Glenn Frey told him on stage as they were playing a concert, he was going to kick his ass.
Yes.
Yeah, if you see the documentary, he's actually literally saying, they're playing the song, one more song, buddy, and you're getting your ass kicked. And then after the concert, he went after him, and Felder got into a limo and took off.
Right. Well, that was because of Linda Ronstadt bringing Brown, you know, the politician. Don Felder didn't want to play with him because he was not
That's politician. Right, Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown.
You're all over this, man. Your rock history is amazing.
You know, I'm an American.
You are.
Eagles fan.
Yes.
So anyway, I wanted to mention about Doc Rivers. How can he put Joel Embiid and James Harden on the bench and put that guy, Paul Millsap, or whatever his name is?
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't begrudge him to try Millsap because it's something we've been talking about, a veteran guy. Yeah. But in that situation, you see he's getting cooked. And you can't let him, you know, run off that many points in a row.
Right. So, you know, I'm 100% agreeing with Tyrone. How can Doug allow for 40 minutes, you know, get the rampage that Antetokounmpo did?
Mm-hmm.
You know, more 14 points, 15 points.
Yeah. No, you're right, bro. You're right.
If it was game 7, he would try this guy who doesn't have the experience.
Yeah. Listen, Vicente, before you go, I want you to sing a little bit of Take It Easy. Since you had the lyric. No. What, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Go ahead, continue.
Oh, I can't remember. I just want to mention that.
No. I don't get off the subject. I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. What next?
Standing in the corner of Windsor, Arizona.
It was such a fine sight to see. What was the fine sight to see? What was it?
That was the corner.
That wasn't the corner. It was the girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford.
Yeah.
Come on.
In the flatbed truck, yes.
Not the flatbed Ford, not the truck. It has to rhyme.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Let me give you
Give me an easy one.
Let me give you a general knowledge question. All right, this is a movie. These are the movies. Famous movie scenes. Vicente, chill. Famous movie scenes, right? Here it is.
Okay.
Two dogs kiss after trying to eat the same piece of spaghetti.
Oh,
it's the same noodle. Two dogs kiss after trying to eat the same noodle.
Yes, that's a Walt Disney movie.
That's right. What is it?
It's not the 101, it's the other one. Lady Luck or something like that.
We waited. Lady and the Tramp.
He was close, but oh, so far away.
He's the best.
Not amongst my favorite.
What, Lady Tramp?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Wait, you thought
it's a love story, Mike.
Lady was too haughty. Am I right now?
I just thought the story was not as epic as some of the other movies. It was just, you know.
I thought it was, you know, Tramp was going out of his social structure at that point.
Great job, buddy. But again, you got Little Mermaid right after that, I believe.
Which is the best.
And that's amongst the best. And just reminder, everybody, Ursula was right.
There you go.
Somebody gave me a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's a great t-shirt.
Yeah, I got the t-shirt. Great. Yeah. Hey, Ursula was right. See, a lot of these movies have deeper meanings, and Lady and the Tramp, to me, doesn't have the same level of deeper meaning as some of the other Disney movies.
Yeah. Oh, you're probably absolutely right
about
that.
That's what I mean about the depth of the story.
Yeah.
By the way, you give up a whole kingdom for true love? That's really the essence of The Little Mermaid. That's a question that lives in adults all the time. Like if you have a great career or whatever, would you give that up for the love of your life? Like, that's a question that people deal with. Would you avenge the death of your father? Lion King. You damn right I would. Like, it's kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
That one's sort of like, cute movie.
Yeah, that's cutesy. My daughter liked it.
I liked it. It's just not.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of Glenn Frey's songs have been labeled lately as misogynistic.
They may have been. But, yeah. I mean, you can't judge everything by that song.
Take it easy. Yeah, he was running down the road trying to loosen his load. What did he have on his mind? It's seven women on his mind.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all right.
Four to want to own him, two to want to stone him.
Yeah.
One says she's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
She had very little regard for women.
Jen was the one that was talking about a friend of mine. She didn't want to stone him or own him.
Yeah.
She just wanted to be friends.
That's right. And she thought they were genuine pals.
Yeah, we're good friends. Good
pals.
Meanwhile, he's singing a song about how much he hates it.
Maybe this is the day she'll look at me differently.
Please.
We're back after this.
My poor guy friends out there.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The John Kincaid Show.
The Bucks beat the Sixers last night. I think we have a lot of Pollyannas that are just saying it'll be okay. 17 games into the grand experiment, I'm not seeing an incline. Did I expect them to be humming on all cylinders? Absolutely not. Did I expect to see regression? I'm seeing regression.
The Anthony Gargano Show.
In Harden, I take that shot. I swore he was going to bury a three for the win. And then Joe gets the rebound, and I do believe. Yo, he took a bad spill in the Phoenix game, if you guys remember. And he looked gimpy. Like, he was in pain.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
This is my big concern when it goes down to, can they beat a good team four times? Talent-wise, probably not. Strategic-wise, they're going to have to do it. And that is in the lap of the head coach.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory. The official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
No. All right, it's time for fun Twitter poll numbers. And then a subject that we're not going to have enough time to discuss today, but I want to introduce it to maybe discuss a little bit tomorrow as the Masters is coming upon us.
Ooh-hoo.
The Twitter poll, of course, is brought to us by the great people at Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. If you need your mower maintained, like, you know, it's funny because people leave it in the garage or the shed all winter and then expect it's going to start up. Might not. Might need more maintenance, and you get it at poweredbymoyer.com. Just check it out, and they'll hook you up. Jen scored our final numbers.
All right, we have two. Number one, did the Sixers' losses to the Suns and Bucks lower your expectations for the team? 32% say no, they'll get it fixed. 68% say yes, they're lacking. That's well over 1,500 votes today. And number two, Eric Church canceled a concert to go to the Final Four. Is that a violation? We're close to 1,000 votes now. 49% say no. 51% say yes.
All right.
Not full.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. General, it's Wednesday today. The prize, you know, we have, you can still climb in if you want to be eligible for it at 610-622-0975. Two lucky listeners who get a question correct. We'll pick at random at the end of the show. We'll get a $50 gift card for B&B Beverages. That's the beer and cigar superstore that's located in historic Doylestown. It's right off the 202 byway. Check out B&B Beverages. Huge selection of craft beers and a bigger cigar selection than most area cigar stores. Visit bnbbeverages.com.
Now, this has been a prize before, Mike. Quickly, I know you have other things. Mm-hmm. If you want to recommend, I have $20. I have 50, I want to spend $30 on maybe a bottle, and I'm going to spend the other $20 on a cigar. What would you recommend for $20, a nice cigar that a person could smoke if they want to use the gift card to get a cigar from B&B Beverages?
A Davidoff.
Davidoff.
Yeah, cigar.
Okay.
And what for what? What else? For a $30 bottle of wine?
No, what? No. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's perfect. Yep, a $30 bottle of wine, a $20 cigar. So Davidoff is the cigar. What about the wine? $30.
I don't know. You can get a good bottle of wine for $30. One's not popping into my head right now.
There's a great Zinfandel, but the cigar is...
Davidoff's going to probably cost you more than $20, but it's in that $20 range. You can always get a white label Monte Cristo. It's going to be probably about $18.
Okay.
Speaking of cigars, I got a couple Cubans down there in the island.
Oh.
Went to the cigar store, and because they you know, they obviously get Cuban cigars, mm-hmm. the islands.
It's all legal down there.
So I grabbed myself a couple of Monte Cristo Havana joints. Actually, a Bolivar and a Monte Cristo. And I was shocked at the amount of money they were.
How much were they?
They were $45.
A piece?
Yes.
Ooh.
And the guys explained to me, I go, listen, you got access to Cuban cigar. You don't understand that the duty we have to pay on that to handle a cigar. So
right.
the government hikes up the duty for the dealer to carry the cigars.
I got you. That's
still so, yeah. 45. It may be high, though. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't feel like you don't get enough oxygen during that time, and then that will give you that sensation.
I guess. It was a potent cigar. So where are we? What did I want to say? Oh,
was it golf-related?
Yeah, it was golf-related. So Tiger Woods, the speculation is there's a buzz that because he arrived in Augusta and played the National with his son Charlie, that mm-hmm. he would attempt to play in the Masters. Now, he has said that he probably could swing the club well enough at this point, but it would be really difficult for him to walk the course for four rounds. So my question is this. Since this is all about what the people want, now, Masters is about what they want. I get it. So, you know, they don't care about the people, really. But would the public, and even if you're a golfer, would you have any problem with a special exemption for Tiger to take a cart? The only golfer in the field that would be allowed to take a cart to play the four rounds of golf that he would need to play.
No.
You say no.
Wouldn't bother me at all.
Oh, wouldn't bother you. All right, so it would not bother you.
No.
Okay, so you're saying
give
that the man has this certain status
yes.
that he could circumvent the sacred rules of not riding around in a golf cart.
Yes.
And he would be the only one currently that would be able to have that kind of privilege.
I have no problem with it. I don't know if the Masters would do it.
Masters would definitely not do it.
Yeah, I would have no problem.
But I am wondering if players, in a secret vote, what the vote would come out to be.
Oh, there would be a lot against it.
Now it's Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You believe that a lesser golfer would have the audacity to vote against Tiger
yes.
Woods taking a golf cart
of
for
course.
The Masters? He's yeah. not going to win.
Of course they would have a problem with it.
But he's not going to win. He's not a threat to win it.
Those DBs don't care.
Listen, if he was a threat to win it, I might have a beef. But he's not.
See, that's where you're wrong. You see, before you said he was never going to win another major, then he won the Masters. That's his best course. If you allow him to drive and not get tired, he's always a threat. These guys get very choky
when Tiger gets around the leaderboard.
It is true.
They get chokey. They're swerving it every which way. The ball's flying every which way all of a sudden because Tiger's lurking.
I don't think he would be physically able to contend with this year.
I agree this year. I completely agree this year.
Yeah, so therefore he would not be a threat to me. I'd say, why the hell not?
He probably shouldn't even, he would probably unlikely make the cut.
Right.
Here's what you could do, though. He should definitely be able to participate in the par three thing that they do. This, in all seriousness, this year, now that he can play 18 holes and walk and sort of, you know, he does the par three thing. And then maybe next year you work on that possible exemption because you want to have Tiger there because you're losing Tiger and Phil all of a sudden.
Let me ask you this. Would he be wrong if he accepted that kind of charity? As a golf great and historian of the game and keeper of the game.
I mean, I got to check his age.
I don't think he'd be wrong.
He's 46?
But he might not accept it either.
He is 46. Uh-huh. He'll be 47 not till December. 46 with a bad wheel. He might be a little too young to accept it in golf terms. Golf,
but because of a car accident.
Right. But you got to remember, these guys said no for a disabled golfer to use a car. The guy ended up losing his leg, didn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't the greatest of the game. So this goes back to my position when the T.O. was trying to bust up his contract. And they were going, well, if we do it for him, we can do it for everybody. And I go, no, you don't have to do it for everybody. Here's your rationale. No, he's T.O. and you're not. So I mean, people would then squawk, no, he's Tiger Woods and you're not. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that it should be allowed, but I don't think in that sport it's going to be
allowed. No, it's definitely going to be allowed. And I don't know if he would actually.
Yeah, he might not accept it.
He probably, as a the respect of the game, would not accept it.
Also, they told he's playing with Charlie, right?
Yeah.
You know, Sam, the daughter, who's older, his oldest kid, gets no love. We never hear about
maybe
Sam.
Maybe she's no good at golf.
Well, no. Sam presented, was the presenter when he got that award recently.
Yeah.
She gave this wonderful speech, apparently.
Yeah, apparently he's a good dad.
I don't think she's interested in the swing in the club. I don't think golf is her thing. But I think the young kid, the boy, it idolizes the golf thing.
What a shame, though. She probably has natural talent.
Probably does.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Apparently, they don't even have any carts available at Augusta.
Yeah, they have to bring
a
special
cart.
They have to bring
one in.
Well, they bring a special Tiger cart.
But apparently, he would say no because he came out against John Daly having one.
Oh, he did.
A couple years back.
So he would have to say no. Yeah.
All right.
So there's your answer.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis. Dennis is went to high school with him. He's a local golf guy. Works at one of the local courses. Does a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Health gets me straight with the golf stuff.
Does he work? I mean,
he's going. No.
You haven't been detailing your progress.
Yeah, because I haven't been making any because I'm in a bit of a busy period right now.
Okay, all right. So you're not really working on it at this particular time.
May 1st will probably be the time when I'll have some time.
All right.
Between now and then, I'm booked. I literally don't have time. I wish I did.
You know, you should do a video progress of this whole thing.
Yeah, but I won't show the video progress until the swing's good.
Well, no. That's the whole point of the showing the bad to the good.
Nah, I ain't showing the bad.
I have so many videos of my golf swing on my phone. It really does help you, though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I don't know who would do it. Like, how do you do it? Do you have a friend do it for you?
No. Well, Well, if I'm at the driving range, I'll just set it up.
Oh, you set it up?
Point it towards me, yeah.
All right, let's take a break. I'm finishing the show. We got sound off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be failing me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Let's keep going. Sound off.
Yeah, it's time for Sound Off. Here's how you get into Sound Off. 9705. 771-9705. Yes. If you got something to say, hit us up. Leave us a message on what I, a lot of messages probably came in last night. I can't wait to get them. Let's see what we have on Sound Off.
Doctor, give us the news. We got a bad case of fix the blues. The diagnosis is quite knowable. No coaching, no defense, no hustle, no plan. The prognosis is clear. Early elimination, coaching termination, better luck next year.
Oh, my man went through a whole thing.
Yeah.
Prognosis negative.
Yeah, it's a good Seinfeld episode.
Giannis showed everybody who the real MVP is. No doubt about it. The man comes to play every day. He's a warrior. Giannis, MVP, no problem.
It's the Embiid hater.
That's my man. That's my man up north.
Yeah.
Checking in.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, listen, Giannis.
It was great last night.
Giannis, a killer.
So I'm watching the game last night, and I'm watching James Harden, and I'm saying, who does he remind me of? And then all of a sudden, that last shot goes off, and he misses it, and ding, 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 Bobby Abreu. Now I know what all the fans of his previous stop saying, be warned, Philly, be warned.
Yeah, too early to say that, man. That's just your frustration coming out, so I'll absolve you.
James Harden and Joel Embiid played basketball as well as any human being can play last night. If you're the coach and you're at home playing the defending world champions in the fourth quarter, the one thing you can't do is take them both off the floor at the same time. How do you defend that? How do you defend the coach doing that?
Can't. Especially if you saw what was going on. I mean, you can stop the flow of the water, can't you? He didn't.
They need to see if they can put Larry Brown on retainer just for the last 30 seconds of games. Coming out of timeouts, because Doc Rivers don't know what he's doing coming out of a timeout. What did they get? A three-pointer from Harden and a three-pointer from Embiid. When both of them drive to the basket and draw fouls all game long, Doc Rivers is no game-time coach.
Yeah, it wasn't a three-pointer, Embiid. He had to get the ball from, maneuver it off the bounce. And he got a good look. He was a little short on that. But I agree with you. The setup of it was weird.
I've got to give credit to the Bucks' Greek freak, Giannis. He put up 40, and how he ever got up in the air and bopped that ball 4 feet against the glass is amazing. Tough game.
It was a great play. He's a quick jumper. He's a supreme athlete. So, guys like that, there are only a few guys that can do that. He's one of them.
Hey, Michael, Doc did it again. Lost it in the fourth quarter. He let his starters out too long. Gaga or coaching.
Very accurate. That's a good call. I like it. All right, let's close that down.
The best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com. Yo.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the ones?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, and we just got a little bit of time, but if I gave you Pennsylvania for this universities that don't have the Pennsylvania in it, how many can you get? You can start in this city.
Well, obviously we got Temple and Villanova.
And Drexel and St. Joe's.
Yeah.
And Villanova. And then you got Pitt and Bucknell and all that.
So many.
Yeah, a ton.
Duquesne. All right. Coming up is Devon Gibbons. Take you into the evening. And our winners today of the $50 gift card to B&B Beverages and Cigars, Dom from Glenside and Diane Dautrich. That's Greg, who cheated and asked his wife, Diane, who actually answered the question. So we're giving it to Diane.
There you go.
He didn't even take Greg's information. He made him put his wife on the phone took her information.
Right.
Way to go,
she got the question right.
And she should spend the whole thing and not give him anything.
On herself. Right.
Whatever she likes.
Right. Stay tuned, NBC Sports Philly, for the Phillies-Tigers game re-aired right here on NBC Sports Philly. Have a great rest of the night, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.